about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It was a moonlit night in old Mexico. I walked alone between some old adobe haciendas when suddenly I heard the plaintive cry of a young Mexican girl.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I set up hip-hop, the hippie to the hip-hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bang-bang. Set up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the beat.
Read your Bible. It says it in the Bible.
So what part of the Bible tells you to say all this kind of stuff here in the chat? I love to suck play and suck play with, like, and lick nipples and lick and send you. Where is that in the Bible? Explain
that
to
me. There's a human part.
Is that the Old Testament or the New Testament?
Neither.
And now.
Oh, well, the gang's all here, I see.
Is that American furlough?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 6th of April.
I want to drive to the homes of the O.J. Simpson jurors and wring their mother effing necks. That's what I want to do. I want to track them down, I want to find them, and I want to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
I got mad all over again last night. I know
whatever
you are.
That is. Let's try to be a good guy.
He's trying to be a good guy, Bean.
I was furious last night. Furious.
Yeah. Watching The People versus O.J. Simpson, and I felt like if that day had lasted, if that trial had lasted a day, a week, a month, 10 years,
yeah,
doesn't matter. He was walking.
Absolutely. That's what I felt like. And I had no idea that they only deliberated half a day. I had no idea. They thought it was going to take weeks of deliberation. They're like, yeah, nope, we're done.
Yep, 4 hours. Look, we can't retry the case. Obviously, it's done. It happened. But I mean, when you see Marcia Clark's defense, and I know we're talking to O.J. Next hour, we'll spend some more time on this, but just I have to say this to get off my chest. You say to the jurors, you say, how did O.J.'s hair and blood get on Ron Goldman's body? Answer that question, and then you'll know the verdict.
Oh, the police planted it, Bean.
But they didn't have access to O.J. They didn't have access to O.J. until the next day.
Everything that happened was planted.
Right, so where did they get the blood and the hair?
I don't know. They're that good.
At the hair factory.
You're right. At the hair factory. But wait, I thought they were incompetent buffoons who didn't know how to handle evidence.
They were good at this, though.
Now you're telling me they're bad. Look, how did Ron Goldman's blood and Nicole's blood get into OJ's bedroom that night?
Dude, they planted it. They
how did OJ's
window.
Blood get on the gate by where the gloves were dropped? I mean, just looking, and I guess maybe it's just they weren't science people, or they didn't trust DNA because DNA was brand new back then.
It wasn't that either.
They just wanted to ignore it because O.J. was black and the police weren't.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was
like, hey,
we don't want riots.
We're not even.
We want things to be calm. Let's just let this one guy skate.
Right.
Don't do that.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Okay.
Hey.
Noted. Do we have somebody to note things?
Yeah, we've got a stenographer
we
in
do.
The other room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't aware of that.
Just when you were gone.
Maybe it's time, by the way, Allie, for people who try to get out of jury duty. This is why you don't try to get out of jury duty.
Oh, no. After my one time, I'm going to try now.
Okay,
done.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Because you let buffoons like that onto the jury who nullify instead of listening to the evidence.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
But does it make you happy that none of his country club friends showed up at the party?
I didn't know he couldn't get
a reservation?
I didn't know any of that. Just because you always hope that was the case, that most of his friends would turn their backs on
him. He was ostracized by most people, I think, But that's not a trade-off for what should have happened to him. You know what I mean? But I just...
So you're angry all over again because you lost him last night. Okay.
I mean, aren't you?
Yes, I mean, because it just reminded me how angry we were, yes.
Yes, it had receded into the past. It was something I haven't given much thought to. Is, hey, O.J. got acquitted. But then when you see it, you can't believe it happened. You can't believe it's real.
What about them playing Bill Withers during the finale?
That's the important takeaway.
Talking about the song that they played
at
the end of the show.
Sunshine, when they were doing the side-by-side. And those side-by-side comparisons of the actors with the actual person, you don't realize how much they do look like them until they're right next to each other. It's freaky.
Incredible casting.
Yeah.
Ryan Murphy deserves all. I don't know if they have an award for that, but they need one.
And it was interesting to see what each person was doing, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Follow up.
I read this morning, and I was going to talk about something else, but now we'll just talk about this. I read this morning that the actress who played the jury foreman in the miniseries, who was very good, I thought, also played OJ's wife in one of the Naked Gun movies.
Really?
How's that for curious casting?
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, that can't be a coincidence, right? I mean, that's got to be some sort of nod to some. That doesn't happen accidentally. Ryan Murphy knew that when he cast her, I would assume, right?
Maybe.
I don't know what Ryan Murphy knows and is thinking.
And I
also noticed how crazy fat OJ has gotten.
Oh, he's big.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a tub of lard.
I think his head is bigger than yours.
It is.
It's massive.
Makes mine look small. And that's very difficult to do.
Yeah. I mean, when they had, I don't know how recent that shot was. Maybe we'll ask the juice when we have him on next hour. But that picture of him at the end where they gave the recap of, you know, him doing 33 years. And by the way, being eligible for parole next year.
Had no idea. Nope.
But they just showed him there. And he is twice the size he was when he was playing football.
You know what the problem was, Bean? And I was thinking about this last night. Is the Judge Ito.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking if they had taken it to Judge Judy.
I want you to answer my question.
She would have thrown them all out of court?
Absolutely.
He would have been guilty within
a
week.
She's not having it. Absolutely.
She would have been so good.
Interesting, though, of all the people involved in the case, Judge Ito was the only one that didn't write a book about it.
Yeah. I wonder why.
And he sure looked excited when he got the case and all that.
Sure.
Like he was really happy about the celebrity aspect of
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
Sorry, Judy.
By the way, if Judge Judy had been running the case, it would have been done in 23 minutes, too, which would have been nice. That actor who played Judge Ito was incredible.
Not interested, sir.
Unreal.
Okay. I just thought he was great. I mean, he nailed the voice and the delivery.
So you get Zippo, nada.
Anyway, so that's over.
That's good times.
That is good times indeed. So we'll talk to the juice.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't want to hear from this dick.
Highlights of The People versus O.J. Simpson, like we just said. An old favorite, Thomas Lennon, on the program today.
Oh, I love him.
Love him, too.
So funny.
We are going to talk about Donald Trump's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I pooped on it when I was in town over the weekend. Yeah, I did.
Excellent.
Yeah, I drove down to Hollywood, and I just pooped on it. It was cool. It was very freeing.
That seems to be happening a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of abuse going on there, which cracks us up. Charlton Copley is on the program today. Hardcore Henry is the movie. And we've also got The Fighter and the Kid from the Fighter and the Kid podcast. It's Brendan Schaub and Brian Callen.
Excellent.
One of them is a UFC fighter. One of them is a comedian. It's a great podcast.
I love that the kid is 49 years old.
Yeah.
That's Brian Callen. I love that.
They're great. They can talk about pretty much anything.
Yeah, they really are. I'm looking forward
outside
to that.
Outside of USC as well, so that's going to be good. That's coming up today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Panic at the Disco on 106.7 KROQ. We're the guys giving you Coachella tickets. Just 9 days until weekend number one in the desert. Sold out 3-day passes to Coachella and access to the KROQ Coachella house at 5 o'clock this afternoon for you. Plus, you qualify to drive home in a new 2016 Jeep Renegade. Alan McKay, what are you laughing at?
Kevin's dead.
Kevin went out to send an email, then forgot to come back. So Ralph is barricading.
I had to
put
a stamp on the email, and then I had to find a mailbox.
Yeah, we did lose him. So you've propped the door closed. Is that what
I got? A couple chairs in front of him. So he comes running in.
He's gonna fall.
He'll fall ass over elbows and just spill out all over the place.
That'll be fun for everybody. I guess.
I think so. Yeah.
All right, keep the mics up. We want to hear this when it happens.
Yeah.
Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Here it comes. Oh!
No, Kevin, no!
Can't stop me.
Made it through.
Can't stop this quality broadcasting, he said poorly.
Quality.
Ralph was guessing that maybe you were trying to find a stamp to put on your email you were sending.
Yeah.
No, I was trying to go out there where I had a signal with my cell phone in case there was something wrong with the internet here.
Right. Uh-huh.
So that's something wrong with the internet. That's what the problem
is. Yeah, the internet.
Right, it's the internet. Right. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Internet. Thanks for noticing. Yeah. Right, okay, internet. Good. Glad we're on the same page.
Hey, listen, Saturday, it's the Brew Fest, K-Rock Craft Brew Fest, happening at Santa Anita Racetrack. Great time to be had. You get to listen to music, drink some brews, play the ponies, get a hoagie.
Please stop that.
No. It's the worst.
Why don't you go out to Santa Anita this Saturday? Go! Infield opens at 11 a.m. The first race starts at noon. And then you get to hang out with the likes of Stryker, Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Lightning, Super Steve, and Chip.
That is classic.
You gotta be 21 years of age or older. And as a little incentive, how about a VIP ticket pack for this event? Here's what you get. Beer garden and concert admission.
Hold up your beers if you're drinking.
8 drink tickets. You get a racing program and tip sheet so you know what you're doing when you go to make your bets on the ponies. VIP backstage access in the wagering areas. And maybe the best part, $106 that you get to play on the ponies with. You can play on them. You can bet on them. Don't play on them. They don't like that. But it's found money. It's free money. $106. And as I've said before, you can parlay that if you're smart, if you know what you're doing and you're betting properly, you can parlay that into $14 million.
Now, you said that yesterday, and it seemed like you just made up that number.
Well, isn't that something?
That's
alleged. Why don't you call now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call, and the first four people through with that phone number get the VIP tickets for the K-Rock Craft Brewfest. Well, congratulations to Rob Kardashian. Black China. He's made an honest woman out of her by popping the question. Yes, they are engaged. He popped the question the other night while her mother, Tokyo Tony, was in town for a visit. And, of course, Black China said yes, because how often do you get to pull yourself in a sock mogul?
Right? It's true. Not that many of them out there.
Get your hooks into a designer sock mogul. You want to make sure that you don't lose that fella. Yeah, he gave her a 7-carat diamond ring worth $325,000. Where's he getting that?
Yeah, who bought that for him?
That's mom bought that for him, right?
Gotta be.
I guess.
Who goes to their mommy to get help buying an engagement ring, by the way?
Rob Kardashian.
I'm sure he goes to her for everything. He's not really a sock mogul, is he?
He is. He's,
I know you're saying those words.
He has a sock line.
Right.
Par excellence.
That doesn't mean he's making any money on it.
Without peer. Rob socks are known around the world.
I don't think they're known at all.
Oh, give me a comfy pair of Rob socks, or whatever they're called. And then, of course, Black China and Rob and her mom, Tokyo Tony, all went to the Ace of Diamonds Gentlemen Club to celebrate the engagement.
What? Obviously.
They went to the strip club to celebrate, Allie, like you do.
With
like
her mother.
Yes. Oh. Listen, I've always said this. If you take the money away from the Kardashians, they are literally a trailer trash family. They are just white trash.
Yeah, they're honey boo-boo. No difference.
Right. If you're living in a trailer with a wife beater t-shirt and you get engaged to your mom to your girlfriend
marry his mom
and her mom is there and then you all go out to the strip club to celebrate
right
Whee! It's Calabasas or Kentucky, the same things is happening at the same time, only one of them has much more money. That should be the Kardashian theme song. One of them's got the husband overdosed in a brothel, now she's taking care of him, and the other one's on her third marriage with a lunatic who screams how he's God and how great he is. They're lunatics! It's a lunatic white trash family. Is this thing on?
It's on. We hear you, right. And we agree.
Okay. Sad radio news. Bean must have been very upset. Radio Uh-oh. News. Bad radio news.
What did I miss? Did I miss it? What happened?
Dr. Tony Grant passed away.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, he saw that.
For those of you who don't know, Tony Grant, of course, Kevin was?
The doctor on Loveline before Dr. Drew.
Well, not exactly, but pretty close.
Really?
She was a radio psychologist.
Oh, all right.
That passed away on March the 27th. She was famous here locally in Los Angeles for many years, being the woman that people would call into to get psychological and relationship help on the radio, first on KBC and then later on KFI.
She was like Dr. Laura before Dr. Laura.
Right. She was pre-Dr. Laura. Pre-Dr. Ruth, even, when giving sex advice and stuff like that. Passed away at the age of 73, so.
Bean saw that.
Of course he did. It's radio news. Someone in radio died.
Well, I like to stay current.
You love radio. And here's a new bromance in town. You know that nightclub, One Oak, where everybody goes? Especially Bieber goes there to get drunk and embarrass himself.
Yep.
Recently seen in the VIP booth hanging out together, Ben Affleck and Ryan Seacrest. Yeah, apparently they're buddies.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Huh.
Batman v. Douchebag. Name of their new movie. Today's celebrity birthdays, Billy Dee Williams, Lando Calrissian himself. 79 years old today.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
Nope.
Do I remember that correctly?
You're remembering that incorrectly.
Oh.
Carl Weathers, maybe you're thinking of. He played a character with a wooden hand.
He's the man who invented Booyah!
No, once again, Billy Dee Williams, simply. Brian Song, maybe know him from that. Maybe know him from as Lando Calrissian.
He is a dick.
No, by all accounts, he's a really nice guy.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. John Ratzenberger from Cheers. Cliff Clavin.
How you doing, Nami? How you doing?
69 years old today. Whenever I think Boston accent, I think John Ratzenberger.
You know what he was great on was...
Everything?
Yeah, he's great on everything. But remember him on Legit. Wasn't he... Was he Jim Jeffries' dad? Is that who he was on Legit?
Yes.
Yes.
He was terrific on that.
Terrific. He's also... This is an interesting piece of trivia. He's the Pixar good luck charm. He's in every Pixar movie. He does the voice of a character in every Pixar film. Because he was in the very first one. And they loved him, working with him so much, they put him in the next one. And he has been in every film because he's considered their good luck charm.
Wow.
So you always hear his voice.
And
so,
he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
No wooden hands!
Come on.
Michael Rooker, very talented actor, is 61. Paul Rudd turns 47. Todd Chrisley, if Chrisley knows best. Oh, I am so heterosexual. He's 47 years old today. Zach Braff is 41. And Candace Cameron Bure. From Fuller House is 40. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock, K-Rock Q. There they are from Australia. The Goldhearts.
Nope.
Doing On the Run.
That was Chili Peppers, actually.
Anyway, right? You're listening to Rodney on the Rock.
Nope.
And I'm here every Sunday morning.
Mm-mm.
Right after Loveline.
Mm-hmm.
Monday morning.
Right.
Basically.
Not Sunday at all.
Right after Loveline.
Sunday night, Monday morning.
And before that, we heard PJ Souls. Doing Rock and Roll High School with the Ramones. She was a leading girl in the movie Rock and Roll High School.
Leading girl, right.
And she was over at the big convention, Days of the Dead convention. Happened 3 days over the weekend out in Burbank. I was out there. We're all out there signing autographs.
Really?
Out there? Huh. She was there and the cast of B.C. Butcher.
Oh, there's that B.C. Butcher.
Pretty amazing. Cato Kaelin was...
Yeah.
Kept everybody on their feet when Cato was there telling a million jokes.
Oh, sure.
Can I
hilarious
say?
Cato Kaelin.
Anyway, hopefully we'll be there again maybe next year. And here are the monkeys.
All right.
Okay.
Thank
you, Roddy.
Next year's promise to no one, though, Roddy.
Speaking of Roddy Biggenheimer, Bean was in Southern California over the weekend for our Kevin and Bean April Fool's Day show.
Yeah, you were.
So, and by the way, I was staying at the Burbank Marriott where that crazy convention was going on, but I did not run into Rodney there. However, I did run into Rodney Biggenheimer at the Denny's in Hollywood on Gower and Sunset.
All right. This could be good, could be bad, because being with the Aspergers, he can't judge whether people like him or not. And we've often talked about, does Rodney hate us? I can't imagine that he doesn't. And if I were him, I would hate him.
First of all, what are you doing at that Denny's? Was that a choice? Or did you have a flat? Did you have a flat tire and you had to wait for AAA?
I was meeting a friend,
That's
Ralph.
Beans John.
I was meeting a friend, and the plan was to go to Roscoe's Fried Chicken and Waffles because that's...
Much better choice.
That's the place I miss the most of everything in California. I miss the most Roscoe's. So we were going to go to Roscoe's. But you know, Roscoe's was in the news last week because they declared bankruptcy.
Great. Let's get back to Rodney.
No. This is it. So I'm explaining how I ended up at Denny's. So I show up at Roscoe's. It's 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and the line must be 40 deep from people, I assume, either trying to go to Roscoe's before they go out of business or trying to support Roscoe's.
People? Can you imagine people?
I wasn't going to wait outside
for
an hour to get in.
People.
So we decided just to walk across the street and go to the Denny's.
Right.
All right. So we go to the Denny's, and we eat, and we're in the back of the restaurant, and then we're leaving, and I'm getting ready to pay pay the bill. And sitting there at the first table by the register, who does not see me, by the way, is the great Rodney Bingenheimer.
All right. Moon's over my hammy. Love it. Love the table at Denny's where there's no one sitting there and I can have all the Diet DC Cola I want.
Rodney, did you see Bean?
Of course I saw him.
Oh,
I
have really?
Excellent vision.
Like
I just didn't want to acknowledge him because, please don't stop, please don't stop, please don't stop. Just thinking that in my head that he might come over and then I'd have to talk to him.
Bean, what was your first thought?
My first thought was, hey, that's the great Rodney Bingenheimer. I should say hello to him.
Oh, like, man. Everything's great.
No, it's
good. You've got your buddies.
Maybe come in for a hug?
No. Look, guys.
All right, let's hug it up, bitch.
First of all, I don't dislike Rodney at all.
I know that.
It's not on you.
That's not the point. It's not about disliking or liking.
We're saying he hates us.
I don't think he does.
And I know.
I don't think he does, and I don't think he should.
He hates us.
Of course he should.
And for good reason. He should hate us. We make fun of him in every way possible.
How many ongoing bits do we have where he's just an out-of-touch loon who just starts yelling 80s bands' names instead of knowing anything about anything?
We have done more to promote Rodney Bingenheimer
in prime time
than anyone in the history of radio.
Look, Hitler did more to promote the Jews than almost anyone else in history. He was constantly talking about them.
No one has talked more about Rodney on this station than we have. Most of our listeners have never heard of Rodney and wouldn't even know that he still has a show if it hadn't been for us keeping him alive by playing back his tapes.
We're important. No. We're helpful. Yeah. We're givers.
You think most of our listeners are listening Sunday night at midnight?
Listen, what I'm telling you. If I'm Rodney and I'm hearing the treatment he gets on this show, I'm not thinking, all right, that's great promotion for me. The way they make fun of me and say they can't believe I'm on the air.
Bean,
that's awesome. I have to send them a fruit basket.
Bean, you know that we have a coworker who he talked to and called us the enemy, right? You know that?
Yes, that's true.
That he called
me. God, you're working for the enemy.
Right.
That did happen. But
how does that not inform you in any way?
Because
he must love us.
Because first of all, when I have run into Rodney in the past, like I saw him at the when we did that U2 show at the Roxy last year, I made a point of shaking his hand. How are you, Rodney? Great to see you. I always try to be very nice when I see him at the Weenie Roast. I always try to say hello and be very pleasant.
That's not
with him.
The point.
Well,
though.
That shouldn't negate 20 years of abuse. Then a handshake and a hearty backslap.
I don't want there to be. I don't like having enemies. I don't like people disliking
me or disliking
our show.
You're not wanting enemies then. You're terrible. If you don't want enemies, you need to change everything.
So I have worked at the same – we have been co-workers for over 25 years, and you're telling me that I should just walk on by.
Here's what I'm telling you.
Don't lock eyes. Don't say hello to a guy who has worked at the same place I have for 25-plus years.
At the very least, the first thought through your mind is – that guy's not going to be happy to see me.
Right.
Now, maybe you make your decision, however, based on that, but you didn't even have that thought.
That was a follow-up thought, which is, I would like to say hello to Rodney because I don't want things to be weird.
Sure.
But then I thought, and I hope you guys are impressed by this, Rodney probably doesn't want to say hello to me.
Wow.
You considered someone else's feelings?
You had that thought?
I did.
Now, wait a minute. If you've done so much to help him over the years, why did that thought creep into your head that maybe Rodney might not want to see you?
Because he's wrong to dislike me. That's why.
He's wrong.
He's wrong to dislike me.
But you admit that there may be a possibility that he dislikes you.
There might have been a misunderstanding throughout the decades.
Throughout the decades.
a misunderstanding.
But that's all on him. That's not anything to do with us.
Well, clearly it's on him.
Okay. All right.
I did not say hello to Rodney Bingenheimer. And it troubled me all day long because now I feel like a bad guy for not doing
it. No, you're a bad guy for the last 20 years. You're a good guy for not saying hi to Rodney and the rest
of it. You guys agree I shouldn't have said hello to him?
Absolutely.
See, here's the difference between Bean and I. He thinks that Rodney shouldn't hate him. I think that I would have said hello because it would have been torture for him.
You are.
You're even worse than he is.
No, but at least I can read the situation right.
Bean's but you would do the absolute wrong thing after reading the situation right.
I feel like I would have.
Bean did the right thing
if
by reading the situation wrong.
That's correct as well.
You're both horrible.
That's also correct, yeah.
Got our weekly recap of The People versus O.J. Simpson on FX. Last night was the finale. I'm going to miss that series, by the way. I hope O.J. gets out. commits another crime, and then they can do another miniseries. That's how much I enjoyed that program on FX.
I was hoping for a season two as well.
Speaking of shows you enjoy, guess what's back, you guys? The most popular of all the new shows on television last season. I'm talking about The Odd Couple. Season two premieres tomorrow. It's always fun to catch up with one of the co-stars of the show, and I like to think of him as a friend of the program. Thomas Lennon on the phone here on K-Rock. Hey, Mr. Lennon, how are you, sir?
You guys, good morning.
Good morning to you. I am excited to talk to you. How have you been?
Things have been amazing. Things have been really, really good. Yeah.
I look at a guy like you who's so busy and creates so much. You write so much and you star in so much of your own stuff. What's the attraction for you to work for the man, to have the yoke of the network around your neck, Tom?
You know, one of the great things about selling out is the selling part.
The selling.
I see. Wait, they pay you?
Yeah, it turns out. But the thing is, I had so much street credibility from, Lieutenant Dangle and the state and that kind of stuff.
Sure. Uh-huh.
But it turns out with street credibility and a bus pass, you get to ride the bus.
Oh.
Got it.
Wait, that's not the goal?
That is the goal, to ride the bus.
Okay.
And are you the kind of guy who has such a broad sense of humor that you can do the very specific kind of quirky, weird stuff that you do over here, but on the other hand, also enjoy the broader kind of network comedy as well?
I like to think so. I mean, I like to think that I can bounce back between I don't think a lot of people would have thought that, like, hey, remember that the Lieutenant Dangle guy and the Plum Smugglers? He'd be the perfect Felix.
I did.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, you had a lot of vision there then.
How did that happen?
I went in and I heard they were going to do the Odd Couple, and then I took a long look in the mirror, and I'm like, yeah, I'm exactly that lame and persnickety.
Yeah, you're very Felixy, Tom.
I know.
How Felixy are you?
What's that?
How Felixy are you?
I'm about 100%. I mean, I've got a bunch of issues. I have a fear of elevators. I have, at least one, if not two, little things of Purell on me most of the time.
Wow.
A lot of the stuff in the show that's Felixy is me, like all the yoga stuff, the cello, that's mine. Look out, ladies. That is my cello.
All these things that your whole life have been weaknesses, you managed to turn into strengths.
Exactly. My love of the Renaissance fair.
By the way, as an aside, this fear of elevators that you mentioned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Please tell me you heard the story that happened this year.
Oh, no.
About the woman in China.
The guy who got trapped in the building for the whole weekend?
Yeah,
no.
This isn't going to help.
This is a lady in China who gets into an elevator and it stops. And somebody in her apartment building calls the elevator company and says, hey, one of our elevators is down. And instead of opening it to see if there's somebody in there, they turn it off. And a month later, they come back to fix it.
A month!
She was fine. Let's move on.
She did not survive the month, Tom. And they found scratch marks on the walls of the elevator of her trying to get out.
This is a horror movie for Thomas.
Yeah, I love it. So I was in a hotel in New York about a year ago, and the elevator was open, and there was an elevator repairman had the panel off and was fiddling with all the wires and stuff.
Right.
Oh, God.
And he was looking at a little chart, which is very complicated, to rewire the buttons, apparently.
Right.
And I was like, wow, this is not helping my fear of elevators. And the elevator repairman turned to me and said, I never ride in them.
What? Was he being funny?
He wasn't kidding at all.
Oh, no.
Blew my mind. And then I darted down the stairs and hyperventilated.
See, this is how you stay in good shape, is that the building could be 40 stories tall and you're up the stairs.
Fear of elevators is going to keep them bums tight.
This is the voice of Thomas Lennon here at the Kevin and Bean. You're talking about, among other things, The Odd Couple returning to CBS tomorrow night at 8:30. I wanted to ask you this other question, too, because we're in a weird time with nudity on television right now. Cuba Gooding Jr. showed his butt last night on the OJ show. We just had that Ray Romano threesome on vinyl a couple of Sundays ago. I understand you're stripping down for an episode of The Odd Couple this season, too.
I did. Even compared to Reno 911, I'm the most naked I've ever been in an upcoming episode of The Odd Couple, which was pretty weird.
I'm not positive that you should say that while trying to sell the show.
I'm not sure. But, I appear just in a top hat for a brief moment. Yeah, but even weirder than Reno 911. I think it was a weird – it had to go through standards at CBS. It almost broke some rule of theirs, apparently. But made it through, yeah.
And you're nude with Matthew Perry in the scene?
Oh, good gracious, no.
Oh.
In an elevator?
That sounds like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Not going to see it.
Now, Naked Lieutenant Dangle, Chandler from Friends, Elevator. We're trapped there for a month, clawing our way out.
Boom! Now, is this the type of thing that you are a guy who will do anything if it's funny and you know that's funny, so you're comfortable with it? Or are you still a human being who doesn't want to be seen with his shirt off on TV and it's terrifying?
A little combination. I think if you've seen my canon of work, you know that I'm fairly shameless. Like, I don't know if you remember me making love to the Xerox machine in Bad Teacher.
Sure. Oh, okay.
Or me making out with Paul Rudd in I Love You, Man.
You go for it. And is there any twinge of I need to get in better shape in the next 2 weeks because I'm going to shoot that scene?
Are you kidding? I didn't have a piece of bread for like 3 months.
And Matthew Perry. We've had him on the show a couple of times. How do you like working with him? Because he kind of seems like a dick.
He and I have a really weird relationship, and we did a movie called 17 again together, and for some reason, even though I know I annoy him like 15 to 20 to maybe 35%, he also loves me. So I can't quite. There's some. We just have like a weird chemistry. We just click, and we kind of always have since I first met him. So,
well, you guys are the odd couple. I mean, I don't think in real life even anyone could picture the two of you living together. So that's why it translates well to the screen for the show.
I know, it's weird, and yet sometimes I ride around in his car with him. Totally.
Wow!
Happens.
What? Wow! Yeah, I bet he's got a nice car. I bet he's got a different. I bet he's got a different car for every day of the year with that friend's money, right?
Every day of the year. Yeah, a couple of them are just hovercraft. It's pretty nice.
Tomorrow night, 8:30 CBS. It's the return of the Odd Couple. Check it out. Thomas Lennon is Felix Unger. It's always great to catch up with you, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Love you guys. Bye.
Appreciate it.
Hey.
No. It's not a hey song.
Oh. All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:35. Last night, the series finale of The People versus O.J. Simpson. Well, I don't know. We haven't heard if there's a pickup for season two yet. But
I'm so sad. I'm really going to miss it. Congratulations to Ryan Murphy. Congratulations to everybody involved in writing and casting and acting in this show. It has been fantastic. But it did get my ire up to see the conclusion of the case last night. But before we talk about the episode, let's get our old friend O.J. Simpson back on the line.
Is he our old friend?
Well, he's been on the show many times over the years. Okay. He's at the Lovelock Correctional Institute just outside Las Vegas, Nevada. How are you, Juice?
Greetings from Lovelock. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing fine. This may be the last time we talked to you for a while because your miniseries concluded last night on TV.
Oh, how did it end?
Believe it or not, despite the mountain of evidence, you were acquitted.
A happy ending. I love a happy ending in a story. Just makes me glad to know there's still positive messages on television for young people.
I'm not sure that's what this is. But Marcia Clark, the prosecutor, did in her closing arguments pretty much summarize all of the evidence against you.
The shoe prints at Bundy were from a size 12 Bruno Mali shoe. The defendant wears a size 12. Hair from the defendant was on the knit cap at Bundy. Hair from the defendant was on Ron Goldman's shirt. The glove found at Rockingham contains fibers that match Ron's hair. The glove contains fibers that match Nicole's hair. It has Nicole's blood. It has Ron's blood. It has the defendant's blood. When the defendant was informed of his wife's death, he did not ask how she died. Think about that. He did not ask how she died. Why?
Why?
Well, because life's for the living, you know? What am I going to do, sit around moping? You know, there's golf to be played.
Right, but 5 seconds into finding out you're a widower, don't you want some sort
what
of
clue?
A widower.
A widower. Oh, okay.
Don't you want some closure as to how it happened? Like, what happened to the lady?
Listen, she had her life, I had mine.
We
were separated at the time. We weren't even married. She's my ex-wife.
Plus, you knew.
Well, there's that, sure. Why ask questions you ought to have the answers to?
Okay, all right.
So then also in the closing arguments, Johnny Cochran got up and gave his famous line talking about the glove not fitting.
Ladies and gentlemen, remember these words. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. If it doesn't fit, You must acquit.
I'm so glad that that has become a popular motto mm-hmm. for people, because it's true. If the glove doesn't fit, then you have to acquit. That's just science.
Well, they certainly did it. And by the way, I sure, not to rehash the evidence, Juice, but I sure would have liked to see you try on the gloves without the rubber gloves underneath that I think may have made right. it difficult for them to fit.
I bet you would have, pervert. No, I don't go like that. I always wear protection.
All right, throughout the trial, it seems like Chris Darden from the prosecution really sort of looks up to Johnny Cochran. But after the trial, once... you're found not guilty. They run into each other in the hall, and Chris Darden has this conversation with Johnny Cochran.
I'd like to help bring you back into the community.
Well, I never left. You think I don't understand the situation? I get it. It's payback. OJ's the first black defendant in history to get off because he's black.
The people will see who the police really are.
All the people saw is how well you can twist the system. This isn't some civil rights milestone. Police in this country will keep arresting us, keep beating us, keep killing us. You haven't changed anything for black people here. Unless, of course, you're a famous rich one in Brentwood.
Oh!
Ouch! Snap!
When I get my hands on that rich, famous one in black in Brentwood, then I'm going to really explain things to him. That guy sounds awful. Who were they talking about, by the way?
That was you.
That was you, OJ. They were talking about you. You.
Wow. Not bad.
I still got it.
Yep. Yeah. And then, of course, the verdict that everybody remembers.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of People of the State of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, we, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty.
Everybody went crazy.
Listen to everybody cheering.
Well, not everybody was cheering.
They love me, and it's just like scoring a touchdown. Uh-huh. Everybody goes crazy. I should have done a celebration dance in the courtroom.
Well, it's like scoring a touchdown if the white people stay sitting in their seats on their hands and the black people jump up and down excited because you win. You win.
I should have spiked the gloves. Like the icky shuffle.
So, OJ, tell us the truth. How likely did you think you were going to be acquitted as you were standing there waiting for the verdict to be read?
Well, first of all, I figured an innocent man should be acquitted.
Right, but we mean you.
Oh,
yeah, we're talking about you.
I was screwed there.
And one final clip. You're back at the house. You were very surprised to see people picketing outside your house with anger. You didn't understand that. You go into the house for a party. There's like 70 people there. You don't know any of them. And you get up and you give this speech.
Then when things settle down a bit, I will pursue as my primary goal in life the killer or killers who slaughtered Nicole and Mr. Goldman. They're out there somewhere. Whatever it takes, I will bring them in.
All right. That's how'd that go?
I'm still looking.
Are you?
I'm undercover in Lovelock Penal Facility in Vegas.
You think that's where the killer is?
Don't tell anybody, but I got a lead.
Oh, yeah?
Right?
About another 30 years to figure it out.
Now, Juice, the expression is getting away with murder, but you literally got away with murder, and yet you're still in jail for the rest of your life. How dumb does that make you feel?
First of all, I got to correct you. I did not get away with murder.
You did not?
I got away with two murders.
Yeah, true.
Good point.
It's true.
Damn, I'm good.
But you couldn't.
I'm just trying to be a nice guy.
Just trying to be a nice guy. You couldn't have stayed out of trouble, though, and not committed armed robbery that put yourself back in prison. I mean, seriously, Jim.
Hey, they had some of my jerseys.
Right. Well, that's
if
worth.
If a man doesn't stand up for his old football jerseys, what does he stand up for?
Well, when you put it that way, I guess that kind of makes sense.
That was a dumb thing to do.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
You know what we have not done in a few days is open up the phone lines for Kevin and Bean listeners to call in. What's happening? Am I hearing some whoops?
Yeah, my microphone's on. I said something hilarious.
Very funny. That was my opinion.
Kevin is surprised every hour when you come in.
Yeah,
he needs to turn on your mic.
Look, I'm over him.
I just accept him as he is now.
So 1-800-520-1067. That is the telephone number. If you'd like to be part of the show this morning, we welcome your comments on any topic. Give us a call for Kevin DeBean's What's Good. If you've got questions, if you've got comments, you've got complaints, you've got a problem, we want to hear from you. Call us. We'll talk to you right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's happening?
Here's some interesting casting. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but there was a book released a little while ago called I can't remember what the name of the book was. It was a story of a guy named Doug Kenny, who was one of the co-founders of the National Lampoon out of Harvard, that created so many legendary comedians and so many great comic projects, like Animal House, for example, came out of National Lampoon, and the Caddyshack movies. I mean, they all had a source with this guy named Doug Kenny, who was hilariously funny, a genius, by all accounts, to all the people who worked with him. But he was also very dark and very disturbed, ended up taking his own life at a certain point.
Is the book called Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant,
That's
Dead?
That's it. That's it. It's the story, the history of National Lampoon and the story of Doug Kenny's involvement with it. And they are making a movie about his life on Netflix called A Futile and Stupid Gesture. And it'll be all about his life and consequently his taking his own life. And they just announced some of the casting. They will be following the story of National Lampoon. Throughout, it's all ups and downs and successes and failures, including Animal House and other film projects. Some of the, also coming out of that group was Chevy Chase, also came out of the National Lampoon group. And they've just announced who will be playing Chevy Chase in the movie.
Flavor Flav!
Not Flavor Flav, no.
Weird casting, but no. I'm in.
This is kind of cool casting. Joel McHale will be playing Chevy Chase in the film.
Oh, I can see that.
You can absolutely see that. Yeah. Plus, Joel and Chevy have a little history together.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
So here's a chance for Joel McHale to use all of those many years of research and experience by working with Chevy on Community and parlay that into a performance for the ages.
Yikes.
I'll be interested to see Joel's take on Chevy Chase. That should be fascinating. And painful for Chevy Chase. More casting news. Dave Bautista. You know him as Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy. He will be returning for that sequel, but he's also joined the cast of the upcoming Blade Runner movie with Ryan Gosling, Harrison Ford, and Robin Wright. So he's a terrifying-looking dude, Dave Bautista. He's a big fireplug of a man. Allie and I are still watching the Nashville. We love that Nashville show.
Love.
You know, I was a little concerned for when it came back, the wedding episode.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty weak.
It was weak, and Deacon was weak.
Oh,
it's like,
he's a weasel.
Snap out of it, Deacon.
Oh, poor me. It's so hard to be me. I wish I could drink. Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah.
But it's gotten really better after that. The rest of the season's been really strong.
What do you think of Steve Kazee?
And I have to say, although I mocked her for bringing this dude up, Steve Kazee on the show is actually really good. He plays an old friend, a legendary country western singer who has stepped away from the life. He's a friend of Luke Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out on tour together. And he's terrific in the show. He's really good, the Steve Kazee. And I can even say his name now.
Wow.
That's how good he is.
Wow.
Interesting.
But the reason I bring it up is they just added some casting to that show, playing himself on the May 18th episode.
Charlie Manson.
No, Manson is not booked for Nashville. Elton John.
Really?
Will be special guest on Nashville.
Famous country singer Elton John?
Now listen, Elton has done plenty of country music over the years.
I know, he had Tumbleweed Connection.
I will mock, but then take it back.
Well, he's not the first name that comes to mind when you think of country royalty to make appearances on the show, that's all.
Apparently Elton's a fan of the show, and they've been in talks, and he's looking forward to performing on the show with Gunner. Him and Gunner are going to do a little number.
All right.
Oh, I love Gunner. Get me some Gunner.
Ralph, we've all been at that place on our DVR where we're three episodes behind or four, and we go, all right, I got to make a decision. Am I in or am I out? Because you just delete, or do you commit to sitting down and getting caught up? And that's kind of where I'm at National. It sounds like you're saying I should go back and watch them.
Hmm.
Sounds like you're saying the show is so good, and I should not abandon it.
I'm trying to muster up caring about what you watch, and I just can't. I just can't get there. I'm sorry.
You were really working hard.
I hear what you're saying. I'm trying to muster up a rat's ass one way or the other about what you watch on your DVR, and I just can't get there.
As a friend, you're trying to help steer me in the right direction with your praise.
I just don't care what you watch and don't watch.
A defined friend.
But as a friend. Okay.
I got a great story here. I don't know if we have time for this. I might save this.
We got time.
All right. Do you remember the original Jungle Book?
Yeah.
The animated Disney classic Jungle Book.
Mm-hmm.
Story of Mowgli and his animal friends in the jungle there, and it's lots of fun music and what have you. And it was a classic. I love that film. It's, of course, being remade, a live-action version directed by Jon Favreau, which looks amazing, by the way. It's going to be out soon. But in the original Jungle Book animated movie, there were vultures in one scene of the film perched on a tree that end up hanging out with Mowgli and teaching him a life lesson. And those vultures all had Liverpool accents. Now, this movie came out in 64, 65.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see why they would, as an aside maybe to the grown-ups in the room, put these vultures with Liverpool, four vultures with Liverpool accents up on the tree branch. And, well, here's a little taste if you don't remember.
Hey, Flaps, what are we going to do? I don't know. What do you want to do?
I've got it. Let's flap over the east side of the jungle. They've always got a bit of action, a bit of a swinging scene, all right?
Ah, come off it. Things are right and dead all over.
You mean you wish they were?
See, because they're vultures. They wish things were dead.
Okay. So what we're going to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Look, Flex.
Have another half hour if you want.
No, that's fine. Okay. Just to give you a little taste. Well, originally, the Disney asked the Beatles to voice those vultures. And they said, F no. I don't know why, but they didn't want to be in a kid's movie, I guess. In fact, John Lennon famously told their manager, why don't they just hire Elvis instead?
Ew.
So, Jon Favreau is coming back to do the version of the Jungle Book, and he's got the scene with the vultures in the movie, right?
Right.
And he goes to Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, and he says, I would love you to voice the vultures in this movie.
No kidding.
And they said, F no. And they told him to go take a hike.
That's not a good story.
So we won't get the Beatles in that version.
That has a bad ending. That
does
story.
Have a bad ending.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a vulture. I like to eat dead meat. Woo-hoo. It'd been awesome, right?
I'm a vulture, too. And I wear Skechers.
What?
You haven't seen Ringo's commercials for Skechers?
No,
he's
not.
Oh, yeah, he's all over. He loves Skechers. Ringo will sell Skechers sneakers, but he won't be in Jungle Book. So
standards.
Priorities. Today's celebrity birthdays. Billy Dee Williams is 79 years old today. John Ratzenberger is 69. Michael Rooker, very talented actor, also in Guardians of the Galaxy. 61 years old. Paul Rudd. Everybody loves Paul Rudd, right?
Everybody loves Paul Rudd.
He's 47. Scott Chrisley from Chrisley Knows Best is 47 as well. Zach Braff. Ah, Zach Braff. Or as the late, great Joan Rivers once called him, Jack Fraff. He is 41 years old today, and Candace Cameron Bure celebrates her 40th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of shows still to come this morning for this Wednesday, including Brendan Schaub and Brian Callen. They are the fighter and the kid from the popular podcast. They'll be joining us next hour. Also, actor Sholto Copley is going to be here in the 9 o'clock hour as well. First, though, 1-800. Huh?
Copley.
Copley. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call for Kevin Beans. What's good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Good indeed. I like this segment. We get a chance to talk to the listeners about what they want to talk about. And why don't we start with Brandon? He's in Lake Forest. He's on line 4.
All right. Brandon, good morning.
Good morning. What's good, everybody?
What's good?
What's good, Brandon?
Actually, just a quick little story. We were waiting in line for the Lumineers on Monday over at the building. And, you know, I just hear a big thump, and I look over, and what do you have against that cone?
What do you have against that cone? I'm not sure I understand Brandon's story.
Here's the thing. All of the K-Rock listeners were lined up alongside the building.
To go into the Red Bull Sound Space and watch the Lumineers.
Yes. So I get in my car to go home, and there's a red traffic cone. One of the biggest ones I've ever seen near my car that I didn't see, so I backed over it. I mean, it was just like almost an explosion. Everybody in the line turned and looked at me, and I was like, oh, my God. So I just kept driving. I just thumbs up and kept driving. I expected this call on Tuesday.
So you backed all the way over it and then went forward?
Yeah, just left.
Oh, it was great. That was funny.
And you know, that's how they test K kids to see if they get a driver's license or not, Kevin.
And I saw one guy laughing especially, and I'm sure that it was Brandon. I'm sure that he was the guy who was, he just thought that that was the funniest thing in the world.
But
so.
Don't you guys think that if you had eyes on Kevin all the time, there would be like 20 things, 20 things a day would happen that you would go, really, Kevin? Yeah. Really?
How dare you?
You know, F the Kardashians. We need a crew following Kevin around with a camera. Can you imagine the entertainment value in that life?
No, thank you, sir.
Thank you for the call, though. Let's go to Laura, line six, please, up next on the Kevin DeBean Show. Laura, thanks for calling in. Pico Rivera, what's good?
Well, I'm calling because of the Kevin DeBean curse.
Kevin DeBean curse?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Which one are we responsible?
You're counting one of my favorite TV shows on HBO, Togetherness.
Yeah. Togetherness is being canceled.
We love Togetherness, and we've done nothing but say great things about Togetherness and had cast members on. What
I think
more
that's
did
Laura's
do?
Point.
That's
Bean.
Her point. Yeah. You shut up.
So you think if we had not promoted the show, you think it would still be on and probably run for 10 more seasons?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Kevin being cursed. You put your stink all over it.
I can't argue with that, I guess.
Laura's pretty firm in that.
Yep. Yeah,
that's it.
All right, Laura, thank you for the call. Let's try Paul Garden Grove up next, line five.
All right. Hey, Paul. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning? Hey, party people.
What's good?
What's good was that trip I won to Crested Butte, Colorado off your radio show.
Oh,
what an amazing, amazing trip.
So everything worked out like we promised?
Everything worked out. There's only one thing. There's a shuttle that I had to pay for that I did not know, and that's probably not your guys' fault, but it was no big deal. But
I guarantee that was our fault.
But it's amazing to have something like that and not know about it. If I didn't win that trip, I probably would have never known about Crested Butte. And I was talking to the people up there, and they say it's the best ski inn in the world.
Now, refresh my memory. Was there a concert that you went to also, or is it just a ski trip?
Just a ski trip. I mean, it was amazing. A 4-star hotel. They have shuttles that run till midnight to the town. The food was amazing.
Wow.
Absolutely amazing. And it's just, I'm still dumbfounded how I won the contest, too. But you guys made me answer, name five U.S. hockey teams in 10 seconds. And I'm
you were good. I remember you.
Go Kings, man. It's a tough game coming up Thursday, man. Go Kings.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
But it was an amazing ski trip, and I took my brother, and we just had a great, great time.
We don't hear from most winners of these types of trips.
No.
Because
no,
they always they assume. Don't make it
well,
back.
We hear from them, but usually it's through their lawyers.
We always assume it goes poorly.
Yeah.
And this.
Again, guys.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Thanks,
this was in Colorado, right? Crested Butte, Colorado is what we're talking about here. Okay, fantastic. Thanks for the call. All
maybe
right,
people stay away because they think the name's Crested Butt and they just don't want
to
go
could
there.
Be. I'm sure that like they've had to fight there. That. I guarantee that they have meetings on how do we get people
I'm not
to not
go
make
ski in a place called Butt. That's dumb.
Let's do one more. Let's go to Burbank and talk to Don, please. He's on line three. Hey, Don.
Good morning. Here's what's good. Big fan of the Kevin and Bean Show. The best moments of this show are when the wheels start coming off the wagon. And the other day when one of Ralph's Showbiz Reports went from Bean having a doorstop named Stoppy, and then you not knowing what a doorstop is.
Unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. For those who didn't hear,
you know
I was doing
a doorknob is?
I was doing a story about Eugene Levy who's got a scorpion named Stingy. And I said, that's not much imagination going into something. And Bean said, I have a doorstop named Stoppy. And then Kevin came back. Well, it's like watching Wimbledon. Then Kevin came back with, what's a doorstop?
Dead serious.
I'm thinking of, I must open a Twitter account and call it Louds for Monkey.
Louds for Monkey.
Somebody did. One of our listeners almost immediately did start a K-Rock Stoppy Twitter account, though. So we almost immediately heard from Stoppy himself.
Now, in Kevin's defense, he has taken something bad and made something good out of it. Kevin has just recorded a new song.
He has?
Really?
Kevin has recorded a new song.
Has he done that?
About what is a doorstop. And it's a beautiful, touching song. And I think it's a hit. If you'd like to hear it, here's Kevin's new song.
What's a doorstop? Why do you call it stoppy? Do you call your wife spousey and your mirror other bean? What's its function? Does it keep the door closed or open? Are there clues hiding in its name? This guy
I'm so late.
Oh, look at that.
Kevin Ryder, the musical styling.
Kevin. Ryder,
yeah. Who knew he could sing like that?
That wasn't
beautiful.
Wasn't
that is thanks to Kevin to be listener Lou Thomas for sending in the stoppy song there. So well good. Done.
What is it doing about? Good?
I didn't think there was anything unusual about naming my doorstop stoppy, but a lot of people are having problems with it.
Well, I mean, most people have friends, and they give, you know, friends have names. They don't have to name objects in their house.
It would be weird if you called other doorstops other names as well.
Right, like let's say you had not only one doorstop that was
stoppy. Would you have two more?
If you had two more, what would you have named them?
I do have other doorstops that do have names, that's true.
And they are?
Miley and Cyrus are my other two doorstops. But I don't remember how that happened or why the doorstop. I know Stoppy got a name because Stoppy looks like a little garden gnome. I mean, he looks like a little person. And I just think that's kind of natural to name something that
name
looks like a little
Jeff.
Person.
Name him Jeff.
That's just dumb to name a doorstop Jeff. So we started talking about, after this came out yesterday on the air, we started talking about people who name inanimate objects. And apparently there are a lot of people who do this. You know, just Sunday night, of course, it's, you know, it happened a long time ago in the comic book, but just Sunday night on The Walking Dead, we finally saw the
spoiler
of Negan. And Negan has his baseball bat that has barbed wire wrapped around it, and he calls it Lucille. Now, I assume that's some sort of nod to B.B. King naming his guitarist Lucille, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would think it would, because it's the same name. But a lot of people name a lot of things. And we thought it might be fun to talk to you, the Kevin and Bean listener, at 1-800-520-1067. If you have inanimate objects in your life that you have given names to.
Now, a lot of people name their cars, so I think that one's out, right?
Yeah.
I don't name my car. I don't name anything that's inanimate.
Uh-huh.
Just people.
That doesn't surprise me about you at all, Kevin.
Okay. But we're saying a lot of people do name their cars.
Yeah, my mom called hers Nellie.
Yeah.
And why do you – I know we're not looking for people who name their cars. Why do you suppose that is that people name their cars? Is it because it's something they spend so much time in that they just feel such familiarity with? It's their one of their favorite possessions? I mean, what's the reasoning behind it, do you
think?
It's
just sad people. Just sad people without friends.
You're saying my mom is sad and had no friends?
Yeah.
What do you think it is,
you're
Allie?
Saying that.
I think it's just you assign kind of a personality through the name.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but who needs that? Why does
I don't think you need it.
Why
you
does Bean's
do
doorstop
it?
Need a name?
Well, I would name it Jeff. If I knew it looked like a gnome, I'd give it an actual name, not Stoppy. But who am I to judge?
Do you name things that are inanimate objects?
Like, sometimes I call my hoo-ha Webby.
Webby?
Yeah, wait. Cobwebs.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's
something.
The saddest thing I've ever seen.
As we're taking calls, Kevin, what about, because Allie brings up a good point with her vagina, what about people who name body parts? Because I have been told that a lot of men have named their penises. I have heard of women who name their boobs. Is that acceptable?
I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's fine if that's the if that's the inanimate object that people want to call about.
I just feel like the weirder the object, the funnier it'll be.
I did a quick Google search on inanimate objects with names, and there are so many of them. Listen to this. I've owned a unicorn pinata head for about 3 years. His name is Tyrone. My saxophone is named Skip. Here's one. We had a frying pan we used to call Steven.
What is happening?
Here's someone who names all of his Apple products. His phone is named Maxwell. His MacBook is named Abraham. His old MacBook was Franklin. His old iMac was Pandora. He still has not yet named his iPad. So that's a guy who just insists on naming his technology.
I'm not joking when I say I don't understand this.
I name all of my pipes and bongs. Twiggy was the most memorable. Okay. I'm not sure. There's a ton of stuff on here that people – I don't know how it got started, though. That's what's curious to me. Like, there are a lot of people like you say, Kevin, like you, who never even think about naming an object. And then there are other people who seem to have named 6, 8, 10 things on here. So I wonder how that began for them. I have a plant named Phil. Phil is 7 years old, this person posts. All right. Good luck to Phil. Let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Jake in Santa Clarita? He's up first on line 4.
Hey, Jake.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
We are good. You name an inanimate object?
I did. I named my bong Captain Underpants.
Captain Underpants.
All right. And how did that happen? Help us understand.
Okay. The bong has a filter that makes it look like a tornado or like a toilet flushing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So Captain Underpants just sort of came naturally from all the toilet humor in those old books from when I was a kid and innocent.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Why did you feel like your bong needed a name? Why couldn't it have just been, that's my bong?
I don't know. Naming a bong just seems so right. It's like your buddy.
Well, when you're high enough, I guess it seems hilarious,
too. It just seems so right.
I also named it Bill Paxton. It had many names. Bill Paxton because of the tornado, because of the movie Twister.
Okay.
And because you Paxton it in.
Doesn't Captain Underpants get upset with the Bill Paxton thing?
No. I also wanted to name it something regal, so I call it Tracy.
What's happening Regal. With Jake?
What's happening right now?
Jake and Captain Underpants spent some time together before this phone call, I think.
All right, Jake. Thanks for the call.
Let's go to Jennifer, line 2, Los Angeles, please.
All right. Hi, Jennifer. Oops, I'm sorry. That was line 3. Jennifer, hi.
Line 3, my bad.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, guys. Hi. So I like to name all my water bottles.
All your water
the
bottles.
The first one, yeah. The number one was a, those ones with the kind of like chewable, not chewable, but it's really kind of like a nipple. So
that you
that
pop
one was
up.
Mr. Sucky.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. You named that one Mr. Sucky.
Mr. Sucky.
I have something named Mr. Sucky.
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
God.
No, sir. Nope.
Another was a bendable water bottle, and that one is Mr. Floppy. They're very.
I have something called Mr. Floppy.
Oh, man, I'm regretting calling.
Yes.
I think you should. Thank you, Jennifer, for the call. We appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. What inanimate objects have you named and why? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, right after Ralph's Showbiz Beat, we'll tell you about all the people who are apparently pooping on Donald Trump's Hollywood Walk of Fame star. So I think that's a good choice. Right now, we're taking your calls. If you name inanimate objects in your life, you've got a stapler on your desk, but it has a name. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. And, Kevin, you mentioned that we're not accepting automobiles. If people name their cars, that's so common you don't want those calls,
Too common, right.
But I do have to give a shout-out to Orlando, who wrote in, who does have a Nissan that he named Liam, because I think that's pretty darn perfect, right?
I like it.
L.A. Right. Hockey Club just tweeted, my beard's name is Gunther. He commands respect.
It's a solid name.
It's a pretty good name, right?
By the way, speaking of beards, that was another inanimate object that's been in the news. What about the realization that Adele grew a beard when she was pregnant, she revealed in an interview recently, and she named it Larry. She called her beard Larry while she had it. So there you go. It's no Gunther, but all right. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with let's start with Jared. He's in Hollywood. Up first on line 1, please.
Hey, Jared.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. You name what?
I have a 45 Springfield 45 that I carry everywhere, and it's called Hello Kitty.
Named your gun Hello Kitty.
That's correct. And my girlfriend actually will even say, "Hey, did you remember to bring Hello Kitty?" Actually, of course.
And do you remember now why you needed to name your gun?
It just kind of came out of instead of just talking openly about it, like, oh, do you have your...
Oh, so it was code. So you didn't have to say gun.
Right.
All right.
Okay. All right.
We'll allow it.
Say hi to Hello Kitty for us. I hope we never meet. Thank you for the call. Let's try Daniel. He's in Duarte. He's got another gun story.
All right. Daniel, hi.
How you doing, guys?
Good. Thank you.
When I was in Iraq, I named my 50 caliber machine gun Christine from Stephen King's movie Christine, because she was mean, but she took care of her owner.
All right.
Hey, how common is that among the guys on the front to name their weapons?
It's actually pretty common. Like, a lot of guys will name off their girlfriends or something like that, but I figured, you know what? What better name than a possessed car that that kills pretty much everybody that bugs the guy? So I was like, yeah, Christine, perfect name.
Awesome. Hey, thank you for your service. Thank you for calling. We appreciate that. Let's go to Kaylee, line 4, please. Azusa.
Hi, Kaylee.
Hi.
What do you name?
We have a Bissell skin cleaner that's kind of like a Roomba. And so in order for the kids to make sure that he goes around the house, we named him E.T.
I'm missing the connection.
So it's a vacuum.
It's a little round vacuum.
Right.
It goes on its own.
And how does naming it E.T. make sure that it gets used?
Well, because otherwise the kids, if I tell them go ahead and, you know, put the vacuum on, they won't do it. But if I say put E.T. on, they'll go and actually click them on to start.
Huh. Huh. Okay.
How many kids do you have?
Two.
Yeah.
Why do you ask, Kevin? What's the line of questioning here?
I'm just saying, if the kids don't understand vacuum, but understand E.T., maybe we have
a problem. Maybe vacuum sounds more like work, but E.T. sounds fun.
Sounds like fun, because who doesn't want to play with a little alien?
Yeah.
Right.
All they have to do is set the timer and have it go. They don't even have to push it. So I don't understand why, but it works for them.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, look, parents say a lot of things to get their kids to do what they want. That totally makes sense, Kaylee. Thank you for the call. All right, let's go to Arian, I want to say. Line 5, please, in Montclair. We're hearing from a lot of musicians today, by the way, texting and emailing as well.
Hey, Arian.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you. What do you name?
Well, I name my drum sets, actually.
Drum sets?
Yeah, I have three different ones.
Okay.
I have Gypsy.
Gypsy.
Which is my first drum set. I actually have that put up on top of the garage because that's the old girl.
Okay.
Then I replaced her with the new model. That's Audrey.
Oh, that bitch.
And then
I bet she's younger and hotter than Gypsy, too. I bet that was a painful transition in your house.
Yeah, she was sad, but, you know, she got over it.
Everybody that's calling sounds sad to me, I'm telling you.
All right, so Gypsy and then Audrey, and then what happened after that?
And then I have my third kit, which is actually the one I take around the town to play gigs. It's called the Pride of Brazil.
Oh, the one you show off, the one you're allowed to leave the house with.
Right.
That's right.
The one you're not embarrassed to be seen with.
Yeah, wow. That's the one that's all decorated. I pretty much coated it, has like glitter and sparkles and everything all over it. So that's the one that's fancy to the eyes.
Look, I'm happy that you're enjoying your life with your drums. But,
oh, yeah.
But why can't drummers get girls like other guys in the band? Like, why are you reduced to dating your instrument?
Because, you know, I guess it has to do with a lot of beating by yourself, but, you know.
Yeah, sure. All right.
Either way, I'm married and expecting, so
what?
I just take my, yeah, believe it or not. So
good for you, Arian.
Believe it or not. Oh, we believe it.
Thank you for the call, Arian. We appreciate it so much. Let's try Monica, please, in Chino Line 8 up next on the Kevin Bean Show. If you're just joining us, we're talking about naming inanimate objects. Monica, what did you name?
Hi, good morning. Hi. We named our Christmas tree. Her name's Gigi.
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 You have a fake one so that you put the same one up every year?
Yeah, it's fake, and she looked French. She's still up.
She still looked French.
It's still up?
Yeah, we're too lazy to take it down, so we just changed the decorations now.
I support you, Monica.
Wow, and Allie need to get together. Allie's got a year-round Christmas tree in her house, too.
It's an all-season tree. See, all the lights change. Go. Yeah, it's magic.
Sure.
You know, you don't have to say you're just lazy. Just say you enjoy the holiday spirit year-round. Put a positive spin on it.
Lie. Yeah. You should lie.
But really, we're just lazy.
All right. Okay. Thank you for the call, Monica. Happy holidays to you. This comes in from the Kevin and Bean Twitter account. I named my landline phone Beer Mug because it's useless. So there you go. So, okay.
All right. Nice. That makes some sense. Let's go to Miko, who is calling us from Glendale. Hi, Miko.
Hi again. I called you yesterday. It's so
sad. I thought so.
So sad, she just said.
Miko.
It's so sad.
Tell me it's not that sad to call you guys this much.
It's not.
Well, I mean, it all sounds like based on the topic we're doing today that you don't have any real friends. So you've got the time to call us.
All right. Why did you call today? You named what?
I named my sewing machine Birth of the Beast because it's about 40 years old, weighs a solid 10 pounds, all metal. The thing is, it's a brick, but it's still sewing.
All right. I have to ask this question, Miko, because you sound like a very nice lady, and we do appreciate you listening. But is naming your sewing machine the type of thing you would put in your Tinder profile?
You don't want to know what's in my Tinder profile.
Okay. All right. Theater. Well, you can tell us tomorrow when you call back.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
I know they are very popular with a lot of our listeners, too, but we've never had Brendan Schaub and or Brian Callen on the program until today.
Damn, I thought something else you were going to talk about that popular with our listeners.
No, but we are very excited about the fighter and the kid joining us next hour here in studio on the Kevin Bean Show. That should be a lot of fun. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Those are my names for my testicles.
The fighter and the kid?
Yes, you talk about naming things. I got the fighter and the kid.
I like it.
The kid a lot smaller?
That's effective. No, I think that's the one that got my wife pregnant. That's why I called the kid.
All right.
We neglected to talk about this, but damn us. Give me a moment. Anyone, any other right-thinking American, still thinking about the season finale of Shades of Blue over on NBC? Are you watching Shades of Blue?
And that's a TV show, right?
Oh, you son of a bitch. Shades of Blue is the show with Ray Liotta and Jennifer Lopez about corrupt cops going up against the FBI and getting caught and having to find a way out. It was an amazing season of television, and the finale was mind-bending. No, nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. Everything to do with a great, great cop show on television.
That is a good show. I'm about three episodes behind, though, so I have not seen this.
Yeah, I envy
Can't
you.
Can't wait.
Because you're going to get the next three episodes are just awesome.
It's still Jennifer Lopez pretending to be a New York City police officer.
Don't you shut up,
son of a bitch.
I just want to make sure I understand what we're talking about.
She's great in this show.
Pete, if you haven't seen her in this show, how do you feel like you can comment on it?
My friends at Denny's told me they don't like it.
Did you watch it?
No, but
well, what? The no, same thing.
Because people have an opinion based on a body of work of what the actor or actress has done beforehand. Look, a lot of people had opinion on Ben Affleck as Batman, even though they'd never seen him as Batman because they knew they'd seen him in a lot of other things. They knew what kind of actor he was. Okay,
right. But if everybody was telling you that Ben Affleck was a great Batman, wouldn't that inform you a little bit?
No. Not me.
Just a bit.
Now I live on an island, literally and figuratively.
Is it possible that she is better than you expected her to be? Yes. Is she great? I doubt it.
Right, but you don't have any idea.
Why do you bring it up, Ralph?
Because she's great on it.
Okay.
And also, she's also still an American Idol. She's one of the judges over there. And tomorrow night is American Idol's two-hour series finale. It's all over after tomorrow night. But it has been announced that Jennifer Lopez will debut her new single tomorrow night. It's called Ain't Your Mama.
Ain't Your Mama.
Ain't Your Mama.
Ain't
Your Mama. I'm assuming she's telling someone in the song that she is not his mother.
All right.
Oh, okay.
And she will not act accordingly.
That's what you got from it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you'll be able to get it on iTunes right after the show. J-Lo teased some of the track yesterday on Twitter, but for those who want to see the whole thing, it'll be tomorrow night on American Idol. Two-hour series finale. It's amazing. That show is going to wrap up everything in 2 hours. It's their series finale. This will be the last American Idol ever.
Right.
They've got guests. They've got to crown a new winner. They've got, I'm sure, retrospectives. It seems like 2 hours is such a limited amount of time. And for them to say that they're going to include Jennifer Lopez's new single as well into that time frame?
Right.
How? It seems impossible. I can't imagine how they could even squeeze that debut of that song into the already jam-packed 2 hours of programming that they have planned for that series finale.
Right.
I mean,
the setup is 2 hours.
Right.
Come on.
Maybe it'll run long.
But then it dawned on me.
Oh, yes, yeah? What?
As I was thinking about it.
Right.
I sat back.
And
I did some thoughtful research.
Okay. Go on.
And it struck me.
Yes.
That there's always room for J-Lo. I wasn't going to let Bean rob me of that, even though he did the punchline earlier on in the joke. I said, from now on, screw it. I'm just going to keep doing my jokes anyway. No matter how much Bean tries to set fire to them, I'm going to press on. That's what I do. Press on, black
man. This just in. There is no more room for J-Lo.
She sounds medicated.
What's wrong with her?
I don't trust her opinion.
Less weed.
Fox, meanwhile, is going to fill the void left by American Idol with a brand new game show. It's called You're Back in the Room.
What's it really called?
It's called You're Back in the Room.
No, but the name of the show.
You're Back in the Room.
That's not a title of
what
a television
What would you guess
show.
It is, just judging from the title?
You're back in the room.
You're back in the room.
It's a maze.
You're back in the room.
And you keep winding up in the same room. They're like, you're back in the room. And you're like, whoa. Yeah?
That'd be the worst game show ever.
I'd watch.
No, you're back in the room.
You're back in the room.
No, you're back in the room.
I don't know.
It will be a show consisting of teams of contestants who have to complete everyday tasks like frosting a cake or blowing up balloons, but they are hypnotized. They're hypnotized. And you know what? You know what the hypnotist says after he brings you out of a hypnotic state, and you're back in the room. Boom! That's a show.
No.
And wait for it.
No. Nope.
Taye Diggs will host.
What?
It's got everything.
You're making this up.
It's all true.
You're making this
and it's
up.
It's all magic.
It's not magic.
You're back in the room.
And that is right.
That is right. That's so right.
Oh, you.
I will not. And you're back in the room.
That's nonsense.
We're going to get the amazing.
We're not.
Tom Silver on the phone.
Right.
See how he feels about that.
What network and when does it air?
Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said.
But what network?
Fox.
In the fall?
And it will be on television.
Okay.
Okay, good.
All right.
I don't believe it has a launch date yet, but get back in the room.
You mentioned Tom Silver, by the way.
The amazing.
Yeah, Tom Silver. I didn't believe hypnotism was real until I met Tom Silver and saw it with my own eyes how effective his technique is. So maybe, I don't know, maybe this would be interesting to watch.
Nope.
Okay. Come on, Kevin.
Decorating a cake.
You're back in the room.
Then you're back.
See? Decorate a cake.
Oh, you're on fire, but you still have to decorate the cake. Ah! You're screaming, trying to decorate a cake. Come on,
Kevin.
That's not entertainment. You're a chicken, but you have to blow up some balloons.
I guarantee they're not going to be that good.
Oh, you don't know, man.
Wish. Greatest of all time. Right?
Right. Goat. Today's celebrity birthdays. Billy Dee Williams is 79 years old today. Lando Calrissian himself.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
No, it was Carl Weathers in a movie. John Ratzenberger, 69 years old today. Michael Rooker is 61. Paul Rudd, 47. As is reality star Todd Chrisley.
I am so straight. I love sex with women.
Zach Braff is 41. And Candace Cameron Bure celebrates her 40th birthday. I'm Ralph.
She has two vaginas.
No, she does not. She's just has two last
names.
Don't
know that.
It's very different. I know. Trust me. I got a whole dossier here.
Easy.
Really?
That's what I call this. I'm Rob Garland. I want to show.
Don't forget, 5 o'clock this afternoon with our friend Ted Stryker. You can win your 3-day passes to Coachella. It has been sold out for months, but you can win your tickets this afternoon. Plus, access to the K-Rock Coachella house where you get to see some live performances. And you qualify to drive home in a new 2016 Jeep Renegade. Just 9 days till Coachella, you guys.
A week from Friday.
That's right. All the details at KRock.com. Again, 5 o'clock this afternoon. Don't miss it.
Donald Trump has a star on the Walk of Fame, and apparently people have not been kind to it.
A swastika appeared to have been sprayed on Donald Trump's star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. A photo surfaced of the graffiti on Reddit, but users of the site quickly said that the symbol was pointed in the opposite direction as the one used by the Nazis. By the next morning, the star appeared to be clean. On September of last year, a yellow X was also drawn over Trump's star. A street performer who dresses as Batman on Hollywood Boulevard told TheWrap.com that he regularly sees people perform negative gestures on the star.
There's sources of dude who dresses up like Batman.
Yeah. I suspect there are a lot of people who are taking selfies, laying down on the sidewalk next to Donald Trump's star and flipping him off or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's always controversies with people on the star. You know, when bad things happen, people always go, oh, take Bill Cosby's star down. Oh, Michael Jackson shouldn't have a star. But they leave them all up, and you just, I mean, that's their policy, is we don't remove stars for any reason.
Right. But so you do the next best thing.
Which is poop on it.
Right,
yeah, exactly. That's what you do. Well, we thought we might find out from the candidate himself what he thinks about this. It's been a while since we've caught up with the next president of the United States. It's time for another Trump date.
He's a guy you love to hate. It's time for the Trump date.
Sit down.
Sit down indeed. Donald J. Trump out on the campaign trail, I think, in New York this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I couldn't be better. Just look at the polls. Look at the numbers. I'm getting huge numbers all over America. People cannot wait to make America great again, and that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, and when you say look at the polls, you mean like the primary in Wisconsin yesterday where Ted
Get
Cruz won the state
Get
with 48% of the vote and you came in
Listen.
Second with 35% of the vote? That's the polls?
Wisconsin is full of idiots. Let's face it, we all know that. they all wear hats that are shaped like cheese. What's wrong with those people? They're stupid. They're morons. And I don't care who the morons want to vote for. Lying Ted? Okay, that's the way it's going to be. I'll win all the rest of them. Boom. Chocolata. Good night.
Okay, so you still think you will be the nominee, and then you will be the president.
No question.
No question.
No question. I'm going to be the nominee for the GOP, and then I will defeat Hillary Clinton or that old man with the bad hair.
Bernie Sanders.
Whatever.
Okay.
You know, you ticked off a lot of women last week with your rapidly shifting opinions on how to handle the abortion issue in America.
Listen. I think women are the greatest. Nobody loves women more than I do.
Yeah, we've
heard that.
Right.
And nobody's had sex with more women than I have.
Uh-huh.
So that's all I want to do, just have sex with all the women in America.
Okay.
I love you, American women.
Well, you certainly have married a lot of them.
Women. I've married mostly foreign women. That's what I do. I am able to reach across the oceans, and I can make foreign policy with almost any vagina.
Have you named your penis Donald Trump?
I have. I call it Ted Cruz. He's a dick.
Got it. Okay. All right. So listen, let's talk about this story that's in the news about your star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. First of all, how long have you had your star, sir?
I got my star years ago, and I earned it, of course, because I was on The Apprentice, highest rated reality television show ever in the history of programming, as well as my roles in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Home Alone 2.
Oh, I'd forgotten about your appearance in those.
I was amazing in Home Alone, too.
Were you? Okay, all right.
I played a very, very charismatic, handsome real estate developer.
No.
Sit down. Go back to Univision.
So what are your thoughts then when you hear that locals and tourists alike are making obscene gestures around your star? They're drawing swastikas on your star.
Sit down. You don't know.
Pooping on your star.
They're pooping on your star.
There you go. It's more lies. You're like Lion Ted Cruz. That's what you're doing. Let me tell you something. That swastika? It pointed the opposite direction, okay, than the one the Nazis used.
Right.
So that person was saying, I'm the opposite of a Nazi.
That's what they were saying?
I see.
Yes. I'm like a super Captain America type of Nazi fighter.
It couldn't have just been the person who drew it was too stupid to know how to draw a swastika?
My followers, my supporters, are the most amazing people. They're incredibly smart.
Incredibly smart.
Mm. And they have the best poop. That's a fact. If you look at the poop on my star,
okay, so they
it's
do
obviously
poop.
Left from someone who loves me, loves the campaign, and left an unbelievably large piece of stool on my star.
Oh, so it's like supportive poop.
Exactly.
That's
you know
how
what
people
it is? It's fertilizer. It's fertilizer for my campaign. They love the campaign so much, they want to fertilize it so it'll grow bigger and stronger by using their poo-poo caca.
Okay. All right. So you're saying they're pooping on a sidewalk in Hollywood and they think somehow that will help you win the presidency?
Or they can't afford a bathroom. Thanks, Obama. Nice work.
Sit down.
That last part wasn't on the air. You got to put on your headphones there, man. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock. It is 25 minutes after 8 o'clock. One of the most popular podcasts in the world is The Fighter and the Kid. The Fighter will be joining us in moments. That's the great Brendan Schaub. Right now, the kid is here, 49-year-old Brian Callen.
Tight skin.
You do look good, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Now, were you always pretty buff, or did you have to get buff because now you have all these UFC friends?
I do a lot of calisthenics, my friend, mostly body weight. It's all about core. I can't stand I'm so tired of these conversations. You know what I mean? Like, this guy, I'm tired of guys posting their body on Instagram and saying things with captions like, you deserve this. Huh? How about I punch you in the face?
The people I want to punch in the face are the ones that tell me how many steps they've taken today.
Oh, God. Yeah. I know. I got my little odometer. I got to get up and move around.
I'm 2000. I don't give a crap. Hey.
Just got a lot taller and better looking up in here.
Sure, he does have a pretty mouth.
does have a pretty mouth. Look at that mouth.
Are you talking about my mouth?
Sure am.
It's way too early, bro.
Dude, it's sensual. Way too it's early.
I believe his words were get ready
it's
for his
way
mouth.
Too early
hey,
for
can this. You guys see his eyes? He's squinting.
it's 8 a.m., brother.
Hey, bro, did you just roll out of bed?
You know I don't work till 11.
Well, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous
I
Kevin
know,
and Bean Show.
Man.
He walked in talking about your mouth.
Dude, yeah. I apologize. I don't know what he said before I got here, but I apologize.
He mentioned your mouth and how it's a good-looking mouth. And get ready for
I
it.
I think he said it's a full mouth.
Yeah.
It's
also, full I mean, mouth. There's a couple 1, 2, 3 full mouths here on this side.
He's got a full mouth.
Yeah, you got a set of lips on you.
Thank you.
Hey, easy,
no,
guys.
Well, no, it's early. I don't know. I don't know how you guys do it. It's early.
It's early and horny here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How long have you guys doing the Fighter and the Kid podcast? 3 years now, right?
Four years.
No, started.
I've been at Fox almost 3. Yeah.
I'm such a huge fight fan, and when I got to meet Brennan and I was hanging out, and I was like, dude, let's do a podcast and talk about fighting. And Brennan went, I'd rather stick something sharp in my eye. I fight for a living. Let's talk about anything but fighting. But
well, you cover a lot of ground. Yeah.
Yeah, it's more of a lifestyle show. I mean, it's called The Fighter and the Kid. A lot of people think it's just sports related. It's really not. We should be in the comedy category, but they put us in sports.
I would guess that it's about 2/3 not UFC.
Yeah.
Fighting.
Oh, yeah. Very,
dude,
very,
dude,
very rarely.
He's a fighter, but he owns 200 pairs of shoes. Okay. So what's that tell you? He's a giant metrosexual.
Yeah. I'm into fashion. What can you do?
You do? You own 200 pairs of
shoes? Are you a sneakerhead or are these shoes or what?
No. I mean, anything. Yeezys, Nikes, Jordans.
Yeah. What lengths do you go projects. To? Do you have a hookup or do you have to go to extraordinary lengths to get a pair of Yeezys when they come out?
He was late because he was lined up on La Brea.
I wish. I wish I had that drive to get shoes. No, I have a hookup, my man. I have a hookup.
Yeah,
what can you do?
It's got a hookup.
Very general. I keep it very close to the heart. Very close to the heart.
I don't know anything about it.
Because everyone hit you up to
get
Yeezys.
Dude, for real, he was wearing his Yeezys. I go, where would I get those? I'm not wearing them. I'm 49. But I go, where would I get those?
They're not for him. They're not for you.
They're
not for you.
They're not for you, bro, and you could never get your hands on these.
Do you have a closet just for shoes?
Yes, correct.
And what is it about shoes that turn you on so much, Brendan?
To me, like clothes, fashion, shoes is art. So the cars, it's all
superficial.
Art.
Superficial.
Yeah, it's so all art. It's all
you
art
coughed well after the word superficial.
You really did.
Yeah, well,
really
was
did.
Good. Was a good one.
Superficial.
Sorry. Brian's really stepped his game up since hanging out with me. I mean, he used to show up. Are you taking the SATs? Why do you have a backpack and sweats on? You're 50. It's why do you look like this?
It ruins his day.
It'll ruin my whole week.
Yeah.
If he shows up to the studio, if we're on set,
then.
No, yeah. You can't.
I started
you
wearing.
Can't.
If I show up in flip flops and jeans and a t-shirt, right. It literally he makes
it's
a face like he can smell something bad, and he can't stop staring at it. So now I try to.
It's just unprofessional to me. You just can't do that.
I got to dress up for our podcast.
For a podcast. Yeah. Yeah. We don't dress up for the radio show.
I'm rethinking my hat and sweats right now. I feel
very you can do no wrong. I haven't even noticed. Oh, I'm still lost in your mouth.
Wow.
We're back, see? Yeah.
I
back
mean,
to the mouth.
Thank you. Yeah. Brendan, dollar for every guy that said that.
Brian, let me ask you this question, because yes, Brendan's thing is the shoes. Is your thing horses? Because you have the greatest avatar of how manly you are standing in front of those beautiful beasts.
Dude, let me tell you something. I'll show you guys.
Shaking his head, no.
It's just, I'm sorry I'm not wearing shorts because I got the hindquarters of a centaur. And here's why. I run in the mountains, and I guess when I run in the wild, animals, especially horses, are drawn to my essence, wild horses.
Mm-hmm.
So I run with wild horses. So
right, okay.
In a sense, they're drawn to my virility.
Are they your spirit animal?
I think they are, dude. Sometimes you have to slow down so they
can catch up?
Yes,
sometimes.
Well, I'm super supple and dangerous. So
sure.
I used to think it was a panther, but I guess if you see me work in bed, if you see my work.
Okay, it's too early,
what?
Man.
Yeah,
you know what the thing
he's
is?
He's asking me a question.
You know
I'm
what's
saying?
Weird? He was never into horses or Teslas or organic food, and then he moves to Calabasas,
oh,
and he starts buying
downside.
Horses, and then all of a sudden his avatar changed to him on a horse, and now we go to Whole Foods, and he's asking about the milk. It's weird, man.
Yeah. I shave my chest now. It's beautiful.
Super weird.
What's happening to
you've changed.
I don't know, dude.
What happened to
I thought
you?
I was straight this whole time, but Brendan's mouth keeps distracting me.
So I do feel like the relationship that you guys have developed over the years is where you have to keep each other in check. You got to make sure the other guy doesn't get too full of it, right?
This is true, man.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think also, though, we connect on a weird level because we both get paid for what you get in trouble for as a kid.
kid. Like, you're not allowed to fight. And nobody in algebra class is like, hey, jackass, keep chewing your tongue and mock masturbating while, you know, I turn my back and making the class laugh. But, you know, nobody tells you you're going to make money that way. And so we kind of both make money doing something that you're not supposed to.
Masturbating?
No, I just...
Hold on, you're missing the point, Kevin.
Kevin, for God's tongue. Hey, this is radio.
Oh, sorry.
But I mean, what I mean is that, you know, being a jackass and not paying attention and trying to make everybody laugh is not really considered a career move.
Your parents hate it. Your teachers hate it. Everybody hates
it. Yeah. And now, you know, I make a living that way. And I think the same thing with being a fighter, a cage fighter. You're going to get in a cage and fight another monster with tiny gloves on and you could, you know...
There's something seriously wrong with people that do that, right?
I agree. Hey, I got out of it. I didn't want any more head trauma. I said, you know what? I'm just going to tell jokes with Brian. I'm out.
Yeah, but there's something kind of like lonely about it and sort of against the grain about it. And I think we both connected in that sense, right?
For sure, yeah.
I think, I don't know. We seem to have the same interests.
We do. It's weird because my best friend's 50, right? So it's a little weird.
49.
Well, you know what I'm saying. It's so weird.
When you're 49, it matters.
Yeah, I know. It's a chemistry. You wouldn't. No, I don't think anyone assumed this. Or when we started, I don't think.
You have a great chemistry on the podcast.
We had no idea. We had no idea. And for me, I'm just so grateful. I always say it's like Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption. You know, being a professional fighter is a rough road, man. I crawled through some doo-doo to get here. Yeah. And Brian is my Morgan Freeman. So things are good.
That's sweet.
It's really touching. Yeah.
And it's also great that you don't have that OS moment where you wake up after your last fight and go, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? You already had a plan in place, a transition that you knew you could do something else and that you loved.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Yeah. You hit it on the nose.
You were always a businessman.
Rogan talked about it a little bit. I had one foot in, one foot out, because I know how that movie ends. Whether you're a world champion or, you know, you're just a flash in the pan.
You were always aware of the fact that
I'm
short.
Very aware. And I also think that for me, especially my last fight, walking into it, every guy has the same thoughts walking into the octagon, the cage, going, dang, man, what am I doing? Everyone has.
Really?
I don't care who comes on the show. Everyone has that thought going, dang, what am I doing? Dang, what am I doing? And you overcome that and you go in and perform. My last fight, it was like, dang, what am I doing? And usually I get over that, but it's like, no, seriously.
And you're like,
I was like, here comes this guy again. And I was like, no, but seriously, just go hang out with Brian and make money.
Didn't you say that to yourself when Travis Brown had a long stance and you were about to fight him? You go, and you kind of went, ah, this is going to be a long night.
I thought it was going to be a long night. It's like, God, he's so serious. He's so serious.
Well, the thing
I'm in the fight business. Yeah. I need to get out.
What was rare about Brennan, and Joe Rogan and I were talking to him, and he started telling us a story, and he was cracking us up, and he went up to go to the bathroom, and Rogan looked at me and said, dude, that guy's really funny. And I said, I know. I don't hang out with him because his shoulders are big and he's got big muscles.
Well,
he cracks me up. I mean, part of
maybe
both.
His mouth.
Yes, I mean, obviously his mouth. We've already covered that. But at the end of the day, he was funny. And I think the other thing that you know, you're a good businessman. I mean, he's always thinking about how to monetize, and he likes the creative process, the T-shirts, the money, and so it's kind of and I just get to show up and be the kid.
Plug and play.
It's working. We got to take a quick break. Brendan Schaub is here. Brian Callen is here. They are The Fighter and The Kid, as I mentioned, one of the best podcasts on iTunes. They've got a live show that's touring the country right now. We'll talk about that and so much more with our guests in a moment right after this on KRAP. Former MMA heavyweight fighter Brendan Schaub in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show, along with actor and comedian Brian Callen. They are of The Fighter and The Kid podcast. By the way, I just want to mention, because our listeners were very excited, we put on social media you guys were going to be here today, so I know we got a lot of people tuning in for this interview. I want to mention tomorrow on the program from the WWE, John Cena will be here with us. And in the 9 o'clock hour, Luke Rockhold will be here and Uriah Faber. Both
a couple 1-2 dime pieces.
Yeah. Right? Talking about UFC 199. A lot of dudes throughout
the A lot of dudes. A lot of muscle.
I met John Cena way before he was famous one time. I swear to God, I was in Gold's Gym and I looked at him. He was a really, really nice guy. I couldn't believe how thick his wrists were. And I said,
that's what you noticed, his wrists.
I swear to God, I said to him,
weird, right?
I go, this is going to be so weird. Did I ever tell you this? I said,
nope,
I'm looking for shorts. They were selling buying shorts. I go, I got to buy some shorts. What do you think? I don't know why I asked him this.
Did John Cena?
I swear to God. And he goes, he said, you know, dude, I'd give you advice, but none of those shorts fit me because I got such huge glutes and quads.
Did you see him naked in Trainwreck?
Yeah.
He is bodied up.
Yeah.
He's bodied up.
I, whenever I'm around guys like that.
He played the best role in that movie.
He was hilarious.
I could not stop laughing. Could not stop laughing. Yeah, he has a sex scene with a big
Schumer.
Girl.
Amy Schumer.
He has a sex scene with her. And he's talking about like protein and the gym.
Trying to talk
for
dirty
talk. Yeah, it's
brilliant. Like somebody shaved a bull or something.
Pretty much.
You know what I mean?
He's just dude.
He's just so thick. And then Luke Rockhold. The last time I hung with Luke, I went and got my hair cut.
No. Like he hung with Luke in San Francisco, right? Luke's a buddy of ours. He hung out with him. He comes back. This fool went to Great Clips and got his hair cut like Luke. I mean, you can't do that, man.
I know.
It's weird.
I didn't look like Luke Rockhold.
He came back with like this weird haircut. I'm like, what are you trying to do? He goes, Luke looked cool. I'm like, aren't you too old to be doing that?
Nope. Not in my mind. At certain angles, whatever.
Brendan, you put up I think it was actually on your Twitter, Brian, put up a photo of you with DC the other day.
Yes.
And I have heard very few details about what derailed Daniel's fight with John Jones.
I'll give them to you.
What happened?
Give him the inside scoop, B.
How did he get hurt and how serious is it?
So Daniel came to my show in San Jose. I was really excited. He just shows up. I'm taking pictures after the first show. And he goes, hey, Brian, how you doing? I go, hey, Daniel Cormier, baddest man on the planet, practically,
nicest
205
man.
Pounds, the greatest guy in the world. And he kicked and his buddy checked it with his shin.
Yeah.
And he
– not an Anderson Silva thing, was it?
Not really.
No, this is pretty standard in training. He just threw a kick, and the guy checked it, and he landed on the wrong part of his leg.
And his tendon snapped.
Yes. Oh.
The tendon that I think attached to the fibia and the tibia or something like that.
I don't like the word snapped.
Yeah, you don't like to hear that. It snapped.
It's not good with any body part. Yeah.
No. And that was it. And so he kind of fell to the ground, got up, and he was like, I'm fine, being a tough guy. And then the next day, his leg was swollen to twice its size. And he was like, maybe I should go get an MRI. snapped your tendon.
I like the distance between – the distance and time between you hurt yourself and then you thought, I should maybe.
Yeah
DC's – he's a badass, man.
Well, you've trained with him.
I wanted to see that fight, him and John.
We all did. I was so disappointed by that news.
Brendan trained with him. Brendan has actually sparred with
trained with both of them, but I think – you know, John having this time off, right, and his run-ins with the law and being stripped of the title, a fight with this OSP guy that he's fighting, it's a good warm-up.
This is the replacement,
I mean,
right?
Anything could happen at 205. This is the replacement. Anything could happen. But it's a good warm-up for John to knock out some ring rust. So,
you know John Jones. I don't. But he seems like a dick. And the reason I say that is because with the fact that he's got a second chance and he still is throwing that attitude around out on the streets with the police when he's clearly in the wrong, like what's going on in his head? Does he just think he's just above everything?
Well, you don't become the baddest man on the planet by just, you know, being friendly to everyone. I think John has a...
But once your career is interrupted... It seems like that would get your attention.
A little humility, maybe.
A little good behavior, maybe.
I'm with you, and he's done some stuff with the community outreach program, stuff like that, but I don't think it's in his personality to just be this loving, caring guy. He's just – that's not him. I always say this about John. I take heat for it. Just embrace the dark side. Be the Joker of the UFC, man. Be the heel and just screw everyone and do your thing. No one's going to beat him. They're just not.
Yeah.
No one's going to beat this guy.
So you think DC didn't have a chance?
Not a chance.
John.
They fought before. He's bigger, stronger, faster now. DC can't really. He's older in his career. He's not going to change much to beat him. I just don't see it happen. John just needs to embrace his dark side. Don't be a dick about it where they can record it, you know, talking to a cop. But also, I don't think that cop was doing him any favors
either.
You watch that video, that cop wasn't doing much at all. Matter of fact, he's been suspended before for messing with guys.
Yeah, that cop didn't like John Jones to start with. There's no question about that.
He has a history of doing this to African
Americans. I was on John's side in that, man. I watched that. That cop, you know, and all due respect to cops because they have a tough job, but that cop was being – he gave him 6 tickets. He was messing with him. That was – I would have
enough to be called a pig, though, by Jones?
I think so.
I mean,
okay. I'll throw around a pig every now and then. The thing is
I won't.
I think, hey, John, move out of Albuquerque. Just move out of Albuquerque.
Maybe that's a good plan.
Get a driver.
He got one. He hired a full-time driver.
Good.
They took his license. Good. They hired a full-time driver.
Yeah.
That's a good step.
That seems like such an easy step that he could have taken years ago.
Yeah.
True.
I mean,
you got to remember, too, he was
the youngest light heavyweight champion for a long time. That, yeah. When you're young, you have money, you have fame. Man, good luck to anyone with
and
that.
And it wasn't close. His fights weren't even close. He was right.
He walked through literally everyone.
He was Tyson-esque. There's no question about that, yeah. Hey, I know, because we're going to run out of time, and I'm going to hate it because it's so much fun having you guys. But your web series, The Fighter and the Kid 3D, I just want to specify, is not in 3D, right?
No.
Tell him, B.
We were like, what do we name it? And Mitch Rouse, who created Strangers with Candy and Exit 57, he's a beast. And he said, let's call it 3D. And we were like, okay. And that's
no,
basically.
He was like, let's call it 3D. I'm like, well, it's not 3D. And then we all started laughing. And then he was like, yeah, let's do that. We're in this big board meeting with all these suits. Yeah. And we all started laughing.
And this is animated show?
No.
What is it?
I don't know how to describe it, but I will say this. It's different. And it's
and a
I'm
web
proud
series.
Of it. It started out, we were going to do like these 2-minute, 3-minute episodes. And then we were like, they turned into like 19-minute, 15-minute.
It's a show.
It's basically
a
real show.
Is it a written show?
It's a written show.
Okay. A lot of improv written. It's Brian and I in these crazy situations.
We play the same. Well, we don't really play the same character. I don't know how to describe it, man. It's an experience.
It's your project.
I'll say this. You will shake your head and go, I haven't seen that. That's okay. Different.
It's a Fighter Kid TV show, and we're going directly to the fans with it because it's our flavor. So. You know, it's definitely rated R. There's some PG-13, but you can't put this on Fox, is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
So the reason going straight to the consumer, straight to our fan base, is because we wanted to do it exactly how we wanted to do it. It's a TV show of Fighter and the Kid.
You can pre-order it. Pre-order it at tfatk3d.com. So it's T.
Also, when you do that.
FATK3D.
And when you do that with this pre-sale, you get Brian Callen's new comedy special, his one-hour special, Never Grow Up, and you get the limited edition Fire and Kid t-shirt as well. So
okay. Right. And you guys, you've already had your Southern California date of the live tour, but that's going on through the end of next month, too. And is that where you do your podcast in front of a live audience?
No, it's not a podcast. See, that's where I think a lot of podcasts or even radio shows mess up here is when they do live shows, they do it exactly how they do in the studio. Brian and I do a performance.
We do a show.
We do actually do a legit show.
We're going to Nolens. Nolens tonight.
It's a comedy show.
Tonight.
It's a comedy show.
Well, tomorrow we'll be in Nolens tomorrow. We'll be here tonight, but we have a show tomorrow in Nolens.
Yeah. Sounds like you've been working on that accent, Brian.
Huh?
You want to make sure you sound like a local when you get there.
The I'm just talking about the bayou.
I don't know what that is. It's so bad. It's so bad.
I'm from New Orleans.
Everyone's offended. Everyone's offended.
To the bayou. Come on down and see the fighter to get to the bayou.
No, I wouldn't come if I heard that. So we're in New Orleans, Texas. Yeah.
Here's Dallas what I love. Houston. I love that that's a terrible accent and he's bringing it.
Yeah, he's stuck with it.
He keeps it. He sticks with it.
You got to commit. He doubles down.
You got to appreciate that.
You got to commit.
Nope. Well, that's... No. What is that?
That's not
what
acceptable.
Was that one?
Come on, y'all. I'm from Nolens.
Come on, y'all.
Nope. I'm on Kevin and Bean.
No, nope. Kevin Bean. Y'all.
I think I'm talented. I don't care about
that. Man, that is not a Creole accent.
Whatever.
Though.
I'll take my accent somewhere else. I don't care.
All right, we are out of time.
I apologize to everyone.
Eat some beignets down at the Picayune.
You have gotten a taste of what you can get every time you listen to a Fighter of the Kid podcast,
but
available at
anyway.
TFATK.com or on iTunes. Guys, so nice to finally have you on the show. We've been fans for a long time. We got to thank Joe Rogan, by the way. He's the reason we got introduced to you guys because
awesome.
We heard you on his podcast and love you so much. But thanks so much for coming in. Let's do
thank
it again.
You guys,
all right?
Man. You guys are the best. Yes.
Kevin,
love you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
Franz Ferdinand. You know Franz Ferdinand.
Uh-huh. That was Franz Ferdinand.
Big K-Rock kind of guy.
He is a good K-Rock kind of guy.
Of course, I played him first.
Yeah, Franz
played him first for anyone else played him.
That's right.
I think he likes me.
He does like me.
I think we're friends.
Rodney and I are pals.
No one's done more to promote him. We've given him so much life in this business.
Finally, you're saying things that make sense. All right. Very fine actor out of South Africa whose name is Sholto Copley joins us coming up right after the break. Hardcore Henry is his new film. We'll talk to him about that. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's happening?
I can't help but think back to Comic-Con. I don't know how many years ago it was now. 4 years ago? 5 years ago? I was the moderator of the panel that introduced all the guys from District 9 to their first American audience.
Right.
That show was coming out of South Africa. They had just arrived in the States, and this was their first Comic-Con experience, first experience in front of a live audience, and first time screening the movie for an audience. We did a screening down there at San Diego Comic-Con, and I was the moderator for that panel. And it was amazing. When we first discovered that film, everybody was blown away. We'd never seen anything like it.
That was so great.
Great film. And I just cannot help but think, in that moment, in his big moment, meeting all those Americans for the first time, how often I mispronounced his name in front of a large crowd.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we always thought it was Charlton Copley.
Could not have been more wrong.
It's right. Neither. And at least neither, the first day and the last day are pronounced wrong.
But at least I said that over and over again to a ton of people.
But
in
he has to
first
be used
introduction
to
Americans.
That has to be common.
Look,
but
if
still,
that's what
I should have known. I should have found out. I should have
been
better.
Well, I mean, maybe, but
it was my job to
sure.
do that, much as it is yours to do this. But I have pride in my work,
and I
like to think I'm good sometimes.
Kevin, how do you say it?
Charlton Copley.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What?
He's back. Yeah. Good for you, Algernon.
Delightful.
Keep taking those pills. Let me give you something, because you're nice people for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, of course, is doing one of his famous Guys Night Out poker tournaments down there at the Bike.
These are big fun.
A.K.A. the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. It is K-Rock's Guys Night Out. Only guys can be there. It's just for the fellas.
No men,
this
women
is just
go.
Guys and girls, both.
Yep.
Well, that's not possible. Why'd you call it Guys Night Out?
It's not. It's poorly named.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So men and women are
sure.
welcome.
Anyone that wants to come, yeah.
Ladies, please come on down.
Sure.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, it's happening at the Bike, Bicycle Hotel and Casino, this Friday at 8 p.m. Not only can you play poker, not only can you cocktail it up and have a great time there at the Bike, which is a great casino, by the way, but you can hang out with people from this very radio showgram. Beer Mug, Dave the King of Mexico, Kevin himself. They'll all be playing, and you will get to hang out with the guys as well as play poker for them. Right now, I've got a spot to play poker at Dave the King of Mexico's table.
What's up?
And he is great, because when he calls out how much money he has in chips, he goes, 2-0,
yeah.
Zero. He'll just, like, yell out numbers. It's fascinating. You will get a spot at Dave's table, plus $200 worth of chips to get you kick-started. And you will have a great time this Friday at 8 p.m. If you'd like to play poker with Dave, the King of Mexico, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller through with that phone number gets a spot to play poker with Dave at the Guys Night Out. And if you'd like to RSVP your spot, if you don't win, you can go to thebike.com for all the details and to sign up. We may owe Bean an apology.
Oh, no. What?
Well, I couldn't help but think. Maybe we're in the minority and he's in the majority for once in his life.
Is that possible?
Could be. New study from Stanford University found that the majority of people, when asked to touch robots in their private parts, got turned on.
Yay! The kids do not love that,
no.
Bean.
Touching robots in their private parts turns humans on, study finds.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
Says this article.
What?
Once contact was made with their robot companion, sensors revealed that the participants' sweat ducts had started to fill up.
Really?
Oh,
and they were more alert and attentive than when they were asked to something less asked to touch something less intimate on the robot's body.
What?
This suggests
what are they doing up at Stanford?
That physical and emotional arousal was the response in a human being when asked to do something that is sexual with a robot. So, folks are getting turned on touching the robot naughty parts.
Hey, are you a robot?
I am a unicorn.
What?
It's only a matter of time, man, before our robot overlords replace humans.
That means you would be replaced, Bean. That's not what you want, right? You want to still be around for the robot
sex. I do still want to be around, yes. I don't want them to replace all the humans, just the bad ones.
Then you're the first to go.
I don't
everybody
see it
that but Bean is what he meant.
I don't see it that way.
I see Rodney being the king of the robots.
Oh.
I think they come and they make him their leader.
How would he treat Bean, do you think?
I don't think that would go well for Bean. Because they would look at Rodney and say, he must be one of us.
Yeah?
Listen to that razor-sharp intellect and that... Oh, never mind. Today's celebrity birthdays, Candace Cameron Bure, 40 years old today. Jack Fraff. Also known as Zach Braff, is 41 years old. Reality star Todd Chrisley from Chrisley Knows Best is 47, as is actor Paul Rudd, who looks exactly the same today as he did in Clueless.
Yeah, it's not cool.
It really does.
Like 25 years ago, whatever the hell that is.
It's bizarre.
It's not cool.
It's not cool at all. And he's been famous forever. And just by all accounts, the nicest guy.
Good in everything, too.
And great, yeah, great in everything. And inspired casting to make him Ant-Man.
Yes. Oh, can't wait for that next film. Michael Rooker, 61. John Ratzenberger, 69 years old today. And actor Billy Dee Williams, 79. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I am of two minds this morning about how I feel about the conclusion of The People versus O.J. Simpson on FX. And we are going to do our recap that we do every Wednesday morning with the juice himself coming up in about 15 minutes.
First of all, totally unbelievable that he would get off for that crime. Right?
Well, I think we're past that.
That's ridiculous.
I think we're past that. Oh. But part of me is sad all over again because I had to sit through watching that verdict be read on the TV last night. And the other part of me is legitimately, genuinely sad, just like you are when one of your favorite TV shows goes off the air. When they conclude, you're like, I'm really going to miss that show.
Yeah.
So season two is what we're looking for.
Well, I don't think season two is likely to be centered around O.J. Simpson.
We'll see a lot of them at the Emmys.
I hope so. I definitely hope that there are Emmys for Courtney B. Vance and for Sarah Paulson, too, because they were incredible. But anyway, I love that show. Congratulations to everybody involved in that show. And we will do our recap with O.J. Simpson himself coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. Right now, though, it's time to catch up with our friend Sholto Copley. He has been a frequent guest on the Kevin and Bean Show on movies like District 9, of course. I think we had him on for the A-Team movie.
Nope, not yet.
Oh, I thought he was on the phone.
Yeah, he wasn't ever actually on the phone. They were just talking on the phone.
I saw somebody on the phone.
Yeah, but that was, did you see a check mark, Bean?
Well, no, but I thought that they. I thought
did
that
you
that
see
was
the check mark?
No, there was no check mark. But they always talk to
know.
Right, that's when we've got him. But I thought they're check on mark. The phone with him, and that means we're seconds away from a check mark. So let's do the big intro.
But I'm saying check mark. That's my point.
I hate it when mommy and daddy fight.
We've said this man's name wrong. Every time.
Yeah.
Because it's spelled Sholto Copley.
Right.
Yeah, it's Sholto Copley.
That's what we're being told now.
Right.
We're not used to getting everything wrong.
Yeah, first and last name wrong.
Yeah, but only that, though.
Yeah.
Only the first and last name. All right, see, all right. Now there's a check.
I know how the check
the
works.
Check
what
is
I was
up
saying,
now.
I was expecting.
Well, then why were you doing the intro?
Because I thought
there was no check.
I thought he was on the phone and we were getting him. All right, we've
you
got
guys,
him now.
Not in front of the guests.
Okay. Sholto, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm in Vancouver at the moment.
Ooh, nice. Well, the last time we had you on was for the premiere of Powers last spring, and we'll talk about the season two coming up in a minute. But first, let's get some hardcore Henry in, because it's very rare that a trailer comes along that everybody looks at it and goes, I've never seen anything like that before. And I bet you probably thought the same thing when they pitched this first-person idea to you as well.
It's true, man. It was really kind of an experiment in a certain way. You know, I came on board early as a producer, and one of my objectives, I suppose, was could we sort of sustain a 90-minute film in POV style like that. The film's based on a short music video, which the director did for his band, the Russian director. And it's kind of, like for me, it's kind of a cross between a roller coaster ride, a movie, and a video game experience in the cinema.
By the way, I want to go back and track down that video you're talking about. Your director was in a band called Biting Elbows, and the song
That's
was
right.
called Bad Mother Effer. And I think I need to go. And he apparently, this video went viral because he did some crazy things, kind of like what we see in your movie, where you're falling down, you know, 10 floors from a building and things like that. I mean, this guy is a risk taker.
Yeah, I mean, the whole movie was just fraught with various risks. You know, we shot in Moscow, where the regulations aren't as stringent. And we just had stunt guys doing the most insane stuff with
GoPros stacked to their head. You know when you do a Hollywood movie, if there's anything you can fall off, if it's like as high as a desk and you might fall and hurt yourself, there'll be some sort of barrier.
In Russia, you know, it's no problem.
In Russia, what the stunt guys did was they just put up a skull and crossbones on any day where you could die. There would just be a flag, the pirate skull and crossbones. I'm serious. Flying just to remind everybody to be on their game that today was a potential death day. And there were a lot of those.
And how about you, Shalter? Are you a guy who was so vital to the production and too big a star to replace that they wouldn't let you do any of the crazy stuff?
Unfortunately, not. I still did some of the craziest stuff I've ever done. Really, it was truly a unique experience. It was the hardest film I've ever made by a long way. I play 11 different versions of the same character. I'm the character that leads the audience. The audience is the POV. I lead them through the movie, almost sort of video game style. I had stuff where I was driving a car, elbowing stuntmen in the face, driving cars through police cars, smacking police cars out of the way in downtown Moscow without road closure, man.
Like, what?
And it's raining. And it's raining. Yeah. And I'm saying to the stunt guy, the language barrier is a real thing. I say to the stunt guy, how fast do I have to? I've never driven a car through another car, you know, a stationary car before. There's a police car blocking my way. I said, how fast do I go? And he's like, quite fast.
I feel like driving, you're lucky to be alive.
Yeah, and then when I'm driving with the stuntman hanging on the side of the car for a few seconds before I elbow him, I say to the guy, how fast do I go there? He's like, not too fast.
That is unbelievable that's allowed. I mean, did he want to shoot it in Russia just because he had a crew there and he was comfortable there? Or did he shoot it there just, like you said at the beginning of the call, to just get away from all the rules and regulations in real countries?
He's Russian. So, you know, he was educated in England. But he shot his music video there. And, you know, when I watched the music video, I thought, it was, strangely enough, a sort of similar feeling to what I had on District 9, where I saw these guys who were the first generation of Russians to grow up exposed to international pop culture. Like myself and Neil back on District 9, we were the first generation in South Africa growing up exposed to this international media. And I recognize, like, these guys in Russia are doing stuff we've kind of seen before, but, like, as in video game or so, but they sort of brought video game action sequences to life with a slightly harder edge than you might expect.
Because they don't care if someone lives or dies.
Well, they actually, here's the funny thing. They actually do. The record of 85 stunt days was, our safety record was a chipped tooth and 5 stitches. I've had worse on a lot of the other action films I've done. And I think part of that was Russian men are not like normal men. They're just tougher.
Yeah.
but really, that everybody really had each other's back because nobody was babying you when that skull and crossbones was flying. Everybody was really, really focused, you know? And it literally was like in the trailer, you see a shot of the guys running over the bridge. They run over a bridge with a GoPro, you know, chasing each other.
Right.
That scene just, you know, we were driving to set one day. They were in costume, just driving from one location to the, from the base camp to the set. And Ilya, the director, you know, is overhearing two stunt guys say, oh, remember when we used to run over that bridge when we were kids? And Ilya's like, oh, you want to do it now? And they're like, yeah, why not? So they just run over the bridge, man, you know, chasing each other with a GoPro. And if they fall, they die. But, you know, they concentrate and, yeah, amazing safety.
That's insanity.
Yeah, it was one of – it sounds weird to say it now, but it was a big conversation.
Sure, when you put it that way, yeah.
Between me and Ilya, when we started the film, you know, when I came on, one of the big conversations I had is nobody must die while we make this film.
I think that's reasonable.
It was a genuine – serious concern for both of us because we knew we'd be pushing the envelope. We knew we had very little money. We were going to try and create something amazing with a lot of visual spectacle for little money. And, yeah, so I'm pleased to say nobody did die. And, yeah, we had a couple of, you know, you're sort of reinventing a lot of rules of production shooting with a GoPro. So we would, you know, you got a stunt guy who's used to just getting in his zen space just before he's going to, you know, get set on fire and jump out of a bus window. And now as he's in that zen space, you're like, and you know, we're going to strap this GoPro to your head, which is going to restrict your field of view. So you're sort of like a horse with blinders, this GoPro rig. And after you get set on fire, just remember to turn and film the other guy on fire who's doing a full burn. You're doing like a half burn. And hold on for as long as you can. And sort of when you – and then jump out of the window, break the bus window, fall to the ground. Don't break the GoPro. Put yourself out and then turn back because the other guy on the full burn is going to come flying out of the bus. A bus window as well, and like you asking a stunt guy to do that, to be the camera guy as well. It was incredibly demanding for everybody.
Is it show business glamorous, you guys? Right. This is the voice of our friend Sholto Copley here on the Kevin Beach Show. Again, the film is called Hardcore Henry. It's in theaters everywhere this Friday. There are some early screenings on Thursday night. It does look like a sensational movie to see in the theater. And real quick before you go, I mentioned when we brought you on that we last talked to you about Powers. You are coming back for Season 2 on the PlayStation Network, Detective Christian Walker, bigger and better than ever before. What could you tell us, if anything, about the new season?
Well, the new season, I became a real fan of the Powers comic books after the first season. They had actually asked me not to read the comics before I signed on, because they were trying to do a slightly different spin on it. After the first season, I read the comics, and I just went back, and I was like, guys, please let's make this closer to the comics, and I think everybody was in the same boat with that. So it's a lot closer to the comics. It's a lot. I mean, it looks way, way better. I think it's just a way better season. It's a real step up from the first season. The effects look great. Brian Michael Bendis, the incredible writer and creative, you know, co-creator of Jessica Jones, and writes like a million different comics for Marvel. He was much more involved in the season, which was fantastic.
That's great. Well, Season 2 premieres May 31st on the PlayStation Network. It's such a cool show. It had such a great buzz last year. We're excited to have it coming back. And, of course, Hardcore Henry this Friday in theaters everywhere. Sholto, always great that you make some time to join us on the Kevin Amin Show, man. We really enjoyed catching up with you. Glad you're safe.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much, man. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Hey?
No.
No, it's not a hey.
Okay.
Not
that was a question. Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:45.
Rob is here. Time for the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Well, I just almost tripped over that doorstop coming into the studio here.
Wait, what's a doorstop? What are you talking about?
What's a doorstop? What is that stupid, absurd thing?
Kevin, I know that you have said in the past that you sometimes go home and your wife says, "How was the show?" and you just shake your head and silently cry.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Was what's a doorstop? Was that one of those times where you went home and you said, "You're not going to believe
it"? Not really. I don't think it was that dumb of a question, and I'll tell you why. Because I was picturing that. Shut up, Ralph. I was picturing that, you know, cheese sized thing that you slide under the door and it holds it open. Bean has a statue.
Right, but you
so
didn't know that.
And
you didn't
both,
know it was a statue.
But they're both doorstops.
But I was
both,
thinking of that one, thing. And I thought, well, how can anybody, A, still have and use one, and B, name it if it's just that? So I thought
Why?
It must be something else.
Did you think now there's no more wind in the world, so no one needs doorstops? Why do you think
in the doors of the future, they will be programmed to stay open with your mental commands.
So why did you think
no doors will ever open or close on their own?
Explain that to me. I haven't used a doorstop in my entire life. So I didn't know. I thought I had to be thinking of something else.
Right. You haven't ridden a camel in your entire life.
How
does it mean
you
that
know
other
that?
People don't have camels? I mean, look.
What's a camel?
You're asking me if I felt bad about it yesterday. No, I didn't. Okay. Should I have?
What I think camel? I think those things with two humps that are at the zoo. They look like furry animals. But I figured that couldn't be it. How could that be a camel? Because I only heard of one before.
Well, how
I'm
about...
I'm just glad Kevin has taken lemons and turned it into lemonade because
thank you, Ralph.
Kevin has written and recorded a beautiful, a touching song all about doorstops and his confusion with them and how Bean named his doorstop, and it's really beautiful.
What's a doorstop? Why do you call it stoppy? Do you call your wife spousey?
He does, by the way.
And your mirror, other Bean.
Other Bean, yes.
What's its function? Does it keep the door closed or open?
So many questions.
Great question.
Are there clues hiding in its name?
This guy's in the Hall of Fame.
Now the show is going down in flames. Because I'm so lame.
Yeah. I mean, when you say it that way.
It's look, it,
even
it's
a rare self-awareness in that songwriting.
Sounds like a dumb comment.
Even if you didn't understand that other people use doorstops, you still have to know what it is based on its name.
Why are you still yelling at me about this?
Just because I still
you yelled at me and I said I didn't feel bad. Then we played the song. Now we move on.
As the listener said earlier today, you know what a doorknob is?
That was very funny.
Can you guess just for, even if you never saw one, could you guess if someone said, oh, I used a doorknob the other day? Wouldn't you put those two things together and figure out what probably a 90% chance know exactly what its function
is? I accept all of your scorn.
Thank you to Lou Thomas, by the way, for actually sending in that song. It's very, very funny and very well done. We appreciate it.
He's got some chops, that kid.
Sure does.
He can sing and everything. I think Omar may be in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Just saying. Guy can write parodies like that.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Yeah. Let's talk about me now, shall we?
Sure.
Well, not really me. About stories that I will tell you, though. Like, how about a Wiz Khalifa Snoop Dogg tour? All right. I'll move on then. No one's really interested in that. They are hitting the road together this summer. 33 dates across the United States and Canada this summer. Look, Snoop's a great summer show. If you're going to have a good time summer music,
agree.
Snoop, right?
Plus his uncle. What was his uncle's name, B, that we were so fascinated by?
Yes, that guy who always had on stage with him. I don't remember, but yeah,
he was parties
a lot of fun.
On stage with him. The opening night is July the 20th in West Palm Beach, Florida. And we'll wrap up on September 2nd in Seattle, Washington. Bean, you can check him out.
Is it Uncle Junebug?
Yes!
Junebug. That's it.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Did he die?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I guess he won't be
I didn't know that.
On the tour this summer.
Yeah. Well, that's less interesting.
The name of the tour? Any guesses?
Up in Smoke 2!
I bet it's pot related.
How dare you, Bean? That is, first of all, racist. And second of all, smokest.
Is that a thing?
Is it smokest?
The Higher Road Tour, it's called. The Higher Road Tour. They're taking the higher road. See what they did there?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm so high!
Mm-hmm. 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 All right, we're talking about music. Radiohead will headline San Francisco's Outside Lands Festival this summer. Big event runs from August the 5th through the 7th at Golden Gate Park. Also performing, Lionel Richie.
Finally, those two on a bill together.
And the recently reunited LCD Sound System. So you can go to SFOutsidelands.com to get more info and tickets. They go on sale on April 17th, so you got to wait a little bit.
And from Muppets fans.
Yeah, can we stop with this?
Really?
Yeah, I was just arguing with the lovely and talented Kat Corbett in the other room about this.
About what?
Go ahead, Allie. Go ahead, tell them.
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem are playing Outside Lands. That's awesome. Yay.
Yeah.
Hello.
The band from the Muppets.
Yeah.
You know those felt puppets?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
They're our pretend band?
Yep.
With the Muppets?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're playing this festival.
Did Kat like it, too?
She loved it.
Of course she did, because she's good.
Because it's dumb.
It's awesome.
Waka waka.
They're puppets.
Yeah.
They're not a real band, and they don't play any songs.
Right.
Just people with their hands up their ass.
Well, you can say that about a lot of bands.
Whoa, zing!
Zinger!
Up in smoke.
Get out.
Get out. What about Bill Withers, though? Why isn't he playing?
Right.
He playing the festival?
He was actually on last night's OJ.
Right. No, I heard you the first time.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Candace Cameron Bure. Did you actually throw something at me? Made me flinch. Two for flinching.
Loved it.
Candace Cameron Bure is 40 years old today. Speaking of bells, real quick, and some of you are going to call me out on this, but I'm sorry.
Is this another complaint about the bell?
No.
Okay.
But I was thinking, pretty girl, bell, made me think immediately to what I just saw on the internet.
Okay.
TMZ has a series of pictures of Ariel Winter from Modern Family on the beach in a bikini.
Right.
Look. Didn't she just turn 18 or something?
I think about that, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I know. Look, I'm a grown-ass man. I got a daughter. I should be above such things. But she's just punishing us. She's just punishing us, this Ariel Winter. Punishing us. Did you see the pictures?
No.
No, but she's a child.
I started the whole thing by saying I got that. She is a child. I got it.
Be better.
I want to be better.
But you then she can't do what she's doing if I'm supposed to be better.
Oh, living her life as a young girl.
But no, it's not like, oh, I'm just going to sit here and eat a nacho outside by the pool. Oh, let me take a sip of my drink. She's like in the sand on all fours. She's barking. Stuff's going on that no 18-year-old should be doing.
I don't think she's barking.
She shouldn't be doing what she's doing.
She's
doing yoga.
She's enjoying her vacation.
She's got one foot up to her crotch and the other arm is in the air.
Wow.
She's like,
wow.
She's got neon signs saying, hey, look at these. It's just, it's inappropriate is what I'm saying.
You're
rotten. How am I to blame?
You're rotten. She is enjoying her holiday.
She sure is.
Having a good time. It's not her fault that people are taking pictures of her and splashing it on TMZ.
Well, everyone
That's on
needs
them.
To stop it. Everyone needs to stop it. Across the world.
Wait, so she shouldn't wear a bikini on the beach because
you're
makes
a perv?
You feel funny in your pants? That's what the message
That's
is
That's exactly
here?
My point.
That's good.
Okay.
That's great.
By the way, big ups to TMZ for putting 39 photos.
That's what
her
I'm saying. How can I defend against that? Even with the best of intentions, I'm only human.
39
I'm
photos.
I'm only human. We're all just people, Allie.
We're all just people. But think about it. She just
I started the whole thing by saying
January.
I did think about it. I understand it. It makes all. I get it. I understand. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, stop it.
Nope.
Everyone has to stop it.
I hope she walks down the street in that bikini every damn day. Good for you.
But then, okay, good for her, mm-hmm. but then good for my pants, too. That's what I'm saying. If she can do that, then my pants can just do what they want to do, too. And that's we're all just going to have to live with each other. Then we're all just going to have to join hands and kumbaya it out because there's no. I can't control that. There's no control over that. Pants do what pants want. Right?
Do you hear yourself?
Yes, I start. Once again, I get it. I knew by starting down this road that no good would come from it, but I'm just trying to be honest. I'm just trying to be real here. Okay? Can we just give me some mad props for being real?
Oh, I get boners from teenagers. Give me props for being real. Come on, Ralph.
How am I supposed to control my pants? You tell me.
Stop
You
talking.
Tell me.
Stop
He's got a
talking.
Point. They're uncontrollable.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Please stop.
Right?
Please stop.
I'm just saying.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
No, I didn't
that
say that.
Control
I didn't
your
say
boner
that.
Right
well,
there.
Well, my pants are fine now because of Bean. I should just have Bean walk around and just talk to me, and my pants will always be deflated.
Yeah.
I sort of have a boner.
Zach Braff is 41 years old today. I'm just saying she's a pretty girl.
I got
she's
that.
A lovely girl.
I got
she's
that.
A lovely girl.
Very talented.
And she's brilliant on that show, and I wish her nothing but great future.
But you hope
things.
She wears a burqa next time you see her.
I'm just saying she's hurting a guy. She's just hurting a fella. That's all I'm saying. Todd Chrisley is 47 years old today. Paul Rudd is also 47. Michael Rooker is 61. Has the same effect on me, Michael Rooker.
Yeah,
I
sure.
can't control my pants around him. John Ratzenberger, 69, and Billy Dee Williams.
Same with me.
Right?
Cliff.
With John Ratzenberger?
Yeah.
Thank you, dear Allie. I'm glad I make you, happy.
Thanks, Cliff.
Billy Dee Williams is 79 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Luke Rockhold and Uriah Faber in studio.
Luke Rockhold.
Talking UFC 199.
And his friend... Brick granite hard.
We also have a brand new internet roundup. We have Dr. Drew on the program like we do on Thursdays, Jim Rome like we do on Thursdays, and John Cena also in studio tomorrow morning.
Allie's pants just got inflated.
She can't control it.
No, she can't.